Blog Talk Radio.
There are seven wonders of the universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about Sports in Depth. It's heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem. Now, here's your host, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. And we open every show with a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you for the little things we so largely take for granted. Dear Lord, we thank you for blessings forthcoming, blessings that have come, and all unmerited. We thank you, Lord, for the little things we so largely take for granted. A lady once said, you're God all by yourself. And a man once said, and pray, although we don't live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a Park Avenue basis. We ask you to reach out to our beloved Rosie in Brazil, who has lost her father. We ask you to comfort the family, comfort her. As they say, earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. We ask you to bless the panel, my beloved family here in America, my beloved family Brazil, okay, Kyle. And more importantly, Lord, we just want to say thank you and also say happy birthday to Michael Jeffrey Joy. We ask these blessings, all the blessings, in the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I got to slide down here and get ready to let the one and only Mel Cosell Smith Jr., a.k.a. Little Coco, bring you into the sport.
Doc, the Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. The straw that stirs the drink is here. And that is indeed the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney. Ain't nobody, and check a comment say, get a better panel than I get. Mel Cosell Smith Jr., the Cisco Kid, the Junio, Express Round, Lois, Cincinnati Seedlings. Was down in spring training. It is Michael Jordan's birthday. So what we will first do, before we even get going, we will turn around, and it serves as two purposes, too, as we will be saluting famous contributions of African Americans in Black History Month, and the man who comes on who sings happy birthday for us, as we salute Michael Jeffrey Jordan, 50 years old today. And a lot of people don't know that there are a lot of connotations, biblically, in the name Nike and the number 23 that Jordan wore. Michael Jeffrey Jordan, considered by many to be the greatest basketball player that ever played. 6 world championships, a host of scoring titles, and just slashing and dashing, one of the truly great players that ever played the game. And don't forget, it was Michael Jordan, as a freshman, that hit that jump shot that beat Georgetown, North Carolina, with the likes of Worthy and Sam Perkins on that same team. Beat Patrick Ewing, Sleepy Ford, and the next year, Patrick and company. We talk about Black history. You can't forget Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing was the man who really put Georgetown on the map, the man who took the mantle and nurtured Alonzo Mourning, Allen Iverson, and a host of other players from Georgetown as he paved the way. Georgetown always said, if there was no Patrick Ewing, there would have been no Georgetown. We happy birthday. Michael Jefferson, 50 years old today, and we dovetail him back up. Happy birthday to John Patrick McEnroe yesterday. We jumped the gun and say happy birthday to Eddie Murray on the 24th. And we go back and say happy birthday. And memory of first Arthur Ashe on the second. And happy birthday to the first lady of the Chambliss house, Audra Chambliss, the wife of Chris Chambliss. And I just amazing can't figure out how he can't get a job someplace in baseball. But it's Michael Jordan's birthday today. Man. The double nickel came into the Garden. His first time after unretiring, wearing number 45, which was his brother's football number. Jordan and Larry Bird wore numbers that were half of their brother's football numbers. Bird wore 33, half of his brother's football number 66. And Jordan wore 23, half of his brother's birthday number 45. Michael, you were truly not a great player. You were a great, great, great player. And we say happy birthday to you on your 50th birthday. And with that, we will slide away. And as Stevie Wonder sings, I want to bring up this fact about Stevie Wonder. It was Stevie Wonder who, after winning a host of Grammys at the Grammys, said, hey, hold on. What? Where are the categories for Latin music? How come there are no Latin Grammys? Yes, it was the man who, Smokey Robinson, called Stevie Wonderful, who said, hey, let's get this thing straightened out. Let's get some awards for Latin music. That's who started it. That's who said, hey. So, our Latin sisters and brothers, remember, the contributions that African Americans make are not only just for African Americans, as the rest of society has to understand, that when Abernathy and King, Farmer and Hype march, they weren't marching for the rights of just black people. They were marching for the rights of all Americans. And yet, it's only been happening to Americans who were hosed down, who hung for trees, who churches were bombed, who women were raped, who were bitten by dogs, who suffered the injustices, who paid the debt so that the rest of America would benefit. Have no problem with that. Let's not get Curt Blood. Kirk Blood was concerned about what he was doing for black baseball players. He was concerned about what he was doing for baseball players. And yet, as a statue should be standing from every ballpark in America, remember Kirk Blood. But one time, you know, he said, I want a couple of gold gloves at a center fielder in the same time and fan of Willie Howard made. Michael! My buddy John Maxwell. Happy birthday. And we also want to take this time real quickly to salute Dave Winfield and his lovely wife Tanya, who will celebrate a wedding anniversary tomorrow. As you know, Winfield is the only man, another African-American first, drafted by the NBA, the ABA, the AFL, the NFL, and Major League Baseball. The great Dave Winfield. Doc Taylor, Boston Devon. Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. We're moving in here right away. You know, the thing here, the Cisco Kid is back. We're going to talk some boxing. Of course, Dusty B joining us. We got the hoops. The hoops. What's happening in basketball? We got a final on that All-Star game yet, or they're still hooping it?
They're still hooping it. 123-120 to West, fourth quarter.
Okay, man. That's a lot of points. And that seems like Durant is maybe moving MVP. Toward another MVP?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Tight games. This is good. Now they start to play defense now. It's getting a little chippy out there now. Time to play some defense now. Yeah.
Michael supposedly came through with thoughts, because so much of Michael Jordan would be part of the show today. Michael said, pick the two guys between LeBron and Kobe. He would pick Kobe because of the rings. And yet, you know, LeBron says something that I've always said that was so profound. And it's LeBron that we both said reminded so much of Oscar Robertson. We're going to talk about Oscar, too. Mm-hmm. LeBron said, you know, rings is not the criteria. I mean, I've said this before. I mean, you're going to tell me Casey Jones with 8 rings is better than Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, and Walt Frazier? I mean, are you going to tell me Satch Sanders with 8 rings is better than Elgin Baylor, Dr. J, and Rick Barry? I mean, come on, you know, this thing about rings, I remember when Mike first came into the league, and they said, you know, a scoring champion is never going to win a title. They said Mike was never going to win a title. But, okay, Hoopsie, you the expert.
Well, Gus, I'm glad you asked. But at least one thing about say about Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, they never left their teams. They stayed on their teams and won a championship. LeBron had to go to another team and win a championship.
Yeah, but who's the, first of all, what does it have to do with anything about
yeah,
title?
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, but it's about money. I mean,
it's about money.
All,
he took a pay cut.
LeBron
took a pay cut.
First of all, LeBron took a pay cut to wind up getting a whole bunch of money, though. I mean, he took less to get down the line. Am I correct?
Right.
Okay. Now, the thing about Bird, Boston wasn't going to let Bird go, but let's not forget, Larry Bird set out a year before Bird. Thought about not being a pro. And Michael, you talk about Michael. Michael was underpaid for the longest time. Bulls kept talking about, well, you know, he makes endorsement money. He ain't playing basketball, scoring points for endorsement money. For the longest time, Michael Jordan was underpaid. And I remember Julius.
Most underpaid player in the NBA.
In the NBA.
Yes, he was.
You know, and I remember Julius. I'd never forget that Dr. Irwin Wiener. When Julius Erving with the Nets, and they looked down and saw there was 15 guys making more money than Dr. J. So, whoa, there's something wrong here. How can there be 15, 20 guys making more money than Dr. J? And I remember Julius told Roy Bowe before they went in, because people, let's not forget that. You know, another thing to get Julius Erving there, you know, people talk about, I saw this dunk, the top 10 dunks of all time, and Julius Erving was like number 6. People forget, you know, it wasn't Michael Jordan who first jumped from the free throw line and dunked the ball.
Connie Hawkins.
And the Hawk. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, you know, they talk about the competition that Mike had. I mean, when Julius won that competition, he was going against Donnell Hillman. He was going against Artis Gilmore.
David Thompson.
Okay.
Larry Keenan.
the competition he had was far superior than whatever.
Oh yeah.
I think that Mike or anybody ever competed against. But also, it was Julius who ran the length of the court and jumped from the free throw line. Because I remember when he won the contest, he told me, "I messed up my wrist. They gave him a stereo set."
And also, you know, I want to give out my first annual report card. I know everybody went to school about the report cards.
Hold on, wait a minute. Hold on. Now. Let me get a little money before we do this report card, babe. Ladies and gentlemen, the first annual right here on Sports in Depth report card from the Hoopster himself, as he will give us. Hold on now. Hoopster, don't move. Ladies and gentlemen, from the top of the key or down low, from the 3-point line or under the basket, hooping to the hoop. Like nobody can. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Unparalleled. For the first time ever, the Hoopster, Louis Hoothart, brings us a report card for the NBA. Hoopster! Give us the mark, Hoopster.
Okay, we're going with the East Conference. I gave the Knicks an A-. And I gave the Nets an A+.
Whoa. But how, the Knicks are ahead of the Nets, but
yeah,
they get an A-, and well, give it to
Knicks,
us.
You want to know why?
Yes, we do.
Because the Knicks been losing games they should be winning.
Okay.
They lose the top teams they should be dominating. The Nets have beaten teams that have dominated. That's another reason why. But those are good grades now.
Oh, yeah, okay. Go ahead, Master. Go ahead, no problem. You
and
have
Boston got a C+.
How much is that because Rondo's gone? If Rondo
exactly.
was
they've been
still
winning,
there,
though. They've been playing good without him, though.
But if he was still there,
they've got a B.
Okay, go ahead.
I give the 76ers a D and the Raptors a D. Hey, I'm being honest. Hey, this is the Hoopster, the first annual report card. I'm not holding back, ladies and gentlemen.
Go ahead, Hoopster.
And this is the Southeast. I gave the Heat a B+. I give Atlanta Hawks a C+. I give the Magic a D.
Who's the Heat got the best record, and they got a B+.
Yes, I give them a B+.
Go ahead.
They've been losing games they should be winning.
Okay.
But they started to pick up. LeBron James was that on a tear. So other than that, they just got a good grade. I give them a B+.
Okay.
And I gave the Atlanta Hawks a C+. I give the Magic a D, the Bobcats a D. That's Michael Jordan's team. I'm sorry, Jordan. They got to do better. And I give the Wizards a D. And
okay.
The Central.
Let's go to the Central.
Okay, I give the Bulls an A+. The reason why I gave the Bulls an A+, because they've been winning without the point guard. Their point guard. They've been playing very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave them an A+, because without this guy, they would be definitely an A, double plus.
Wow.
Okay, and I gave the Pacers a B+. They've been playing great basketball. I'm very impressed with the Pacers right now.
They also have been like the sleeper here. Nobody
yes,
really talking
exactly.
about how well they play. Yeah.
And I gave the Bucks a C+.
Mm-hmm.
I gave the Pistons a D- and Cleveland a D-.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the Eastern Conference. You want to hear the West or you want
to
wait?
Come on. Give it to us, baby.
Okay, the West,
night.
I gave the Spurs the A+.
No question.
I gave Memphis a B+.
Mm-hmm.
I gave Houston a C+.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave Dallas a D- and the Hornets a D.
Hold on. Dallas got a D-?
Yeah, I give them a D-. Because they've been having a lot of injuries. That's why.
Okay.
And Dirk Nowitzki started to pick up his game. So it's going to take a while for him to get back with his knee because he had knee surgery. So he's starting to get back in form right now.
Okay.
Okay, the Northeast. I gave Oklahoma City an A+.
Okay.
I gave the Nuggets a B+.
Mm-hmm.
I gave Utah a C-. I gave Trailblazers a C-, and I gave the Timberwolves a D. In Pacific, this is the last report card, I gave the Clippers an A+. They've been playing great basketball right now, as you know. They've been tearing everybody up.
Mm-hmm.
I gave Mark Jackson's team a B+.
Really, even though they kind of been stumbling a little bit lately, right?
No, they've been playing great basketball. Yes, they have.
Okay.
You got to give Mark very credit with that team. His second year coaching with the Warriors.
Is Mark in the running for Coach of the Year?
Yes, I got him. He's my pick for Coach of the Year.
Okay.
He's my pick. It's not. The NBA should be ashamed of itself.
Well, especially if they make the playoffs, it look like they're going to do.
And then they had the only player from the Golden State Warriors to make the All-Star team. They released this with Charles Sprewell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a long time. So I gave the Lakers a D-. Sorry about that, Jerry Boss. I'm sorry about that. They've been losing games, and they've been slumping. So I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year where they're playing.
Well, I think the big thing with Cosell out, I think the playoffs is maybe out for them. With him gone, I think their playoff hopes are really gone.
Exactly. So I gave Sacramento a D+. I gave the Sun a D-.
Mm.
There you have it for my first annual Hoopsters report card. Herbert, any questions with the report cards? Anybody?
Who can argue with you, Hoopsters?
Well, is there any questions? Is anybody got any questions? You can ask me right now.
I
know you got a question for me. I know you do.
Well, I mean, no, you gave a D- to a team that wasn't healthy. But what you're saying is you are judging them on how they're playing now. You're not concerned about who's not playing, not concerned who's
exactly. playing. Exactly. The way they're playing, that's correct, Doc.
And what I liked, too, was, you know, it was amazing the mark that you gave the Bulls, because the Bulls have been a sleeper.
Yes.
The Pacers have been a sleeper.
Yes.
And Golden State has been a sleeper. Now, who's the coach of Indiana?
What's that? That boy's name.
And we got the coach of the Bulls. These are guys that you never hear nobody.
Tom Thibodeau.
You know,
don't forget, he's the assistant coach of the Knicks. Everybody forgot about that.
The thing, too, that I'm hoping so you know, that Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Radio Network, we're saying happy birthday to Michael Jordan. It's the sports wrap on Sunday. Got a lot of time to go, so everybody's here. The gang's over here. You know, Hoopster, the thing that I'm looking at, too, as horrible as the Lakers are playing, you don't hear one word of negativity about D'Antoni, and yet Brown got fired before he hardly could write down a play.
See, now you're a play on the clipboard.
I mean, you know.
Yeah,
I just, you know, a lot of people said they didn't see D'Antoni as a coach for this team. It's evidently reflecting. I mean, here's a guy that's not winning, and you know, you don't hear one word.
Nope.
His name never comes up. I mean, it's like the player's fault. It's, you know, Howard is not playing well. Because there's a horde of reasons why they're not playing, but nothing gets pointed to the coach.
Anybody got any questions about my report cards?
Any questions, gang?
No, you're absolutely
I got no
right
questions.
In that.
Yeah, you can ask me anything. Well, I'll give out the grade.
Hold on.
I know you got something to ask me, Dusty. Go ahead. Come on, Dusty.
Yeah, you're absolutely right in the D minus. My only question with you that, yes, you are being a little critical because of the injury factor. But then again,
Which team, Dusty?
The one that you, I forgot the team, but the one that you
gave
me D-minus.
The Mavericks?
And the ball players are, most of the ball players are out sick, injuries. I forgot what team it was.
The Mavericks?
Dallas, I gave it a D.
Yeah, but when you gave a D minus two, I forgot what you said. Yeah, you mentioned you justified.
Who, the Lakers? You talk about the Lakers? They're playing terrible basketball.
Yeah, but
terrible,
but,
pitiful,
but,
man.
But,
come on.
Yeah, no,
we could beat the Lakers where they playing.
Yeah, but
and I'm 51 years old. I can shoot better game than that.
Yeah, but what I was saying is that to justify what you said, you said, well, a lot of them are out on the disability, a lot of them are injury, and Doc's question you. Why you gave him such a poor mark?
Well,
but,
honestly, I'm being honest. Usually, I could give him,
no,
be tough and give him F's.
No,
but I don't do that.
I just try to
judge them where they've been playing right now.
No, let me finish my statement, please.
Dusty's saying what I'm saying.
What I'm saying, man.
You were getting on it for what, Dusty?
Let me finish. The reason why I frowned on the D minus because the guys are injured, I said, man, that's being kind of harsh. But then again, this is where I come from. You have backups who should be playing at a higher level. This is why you have a backup bench.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. And the D minus because when a man gets injured, then his substitute, his understudy, should be able to be playing at a peak level because now he got his chance to shine. Mm-hmm. And
what team was that,
around,
Dusty? Dallas?
I forget
Dallas?
The name. He got Jesus.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, what Dusty says is flying across
the
board.
I like Dusty's point. No problem.
Dusty is saying, but this shows, too, what they've always said, and what made the old Knicks so great was having a good bench, because
having a bench.
They look good.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc, let me
make a quick point right quick on this, okay?
All right.
Let me be brief, all right? Mike D'Antoni is the most overrated coach maybe in the history of the NBA, okay? Let me say that right away, right on the genius that I've been there. I have yet to see it. I didn't see it when he was
in Rudy, New York. Rudy, is he the Rex Ryan of basketball?
Don't start now. Here we go. That was a kick in the butt with the Jets. You started already. Rex Ryan of NBA.
That's a low blow. What is this offensive genius that I've heard about for years and have yet to see? I don't see it in New York. I don't see it in L.A.
Can't get out of the first round of the playoffs.
Hey, Doc, you know what I can say about the Lakers?
What?
They old and they slow.
Come on, Hoopster. Baby, now you're a poet, too?
I learned from the best. I learned from you guys. They're old and slow.
Old and slow. I still think if Cosell can come back, that's the key, and they can make the playoffs, they'll be dangerous because of the players that they have. But, the biggest thing that I'm talking about here is what you just saying. It reminds me of a situation I was thinking I think he's been one of the best coaches of his generation, Larry Brown. But Larry is the kind of guy that a lot of players said, has nothing to do with the losing, all to do with winning. But I'm just taken back by that. D'Antoni's name does not come up for nothing. That they lost four or five games in a row. That they can't beat the Clippers.
The Clippers blew them up. That's why I gave the Lakers the D minus.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I gave him the D minus.
That's probably the team that I could have been the Lakers.
You know why I gave him a D minus? Because the games they should be winning, they're losing. And plus, they're not getting back on defense. And where's the offense?
Thank you.
That's supposed to be showtime. They're slow. Instead of showtime, they're slow time. That's what it should be called.
The offensive team stinks. He has not a clue about defense. Where is this great coach that I've been hearing about for years?
Exactly.
And I've yet to see?
That's why I give him a D minus.
He was the guy that they replaced Isaiah Thomas for. They brought Isaiah Thomas in. They brought the guy from Indiana. So you had two guys doing the same horrible job that they claim that Isaiah was doing, but you never heard nothing about their deficiencies. And then every now and then they would say, well, the mess that Isaiah left. I want to say Isaiah Thomas is back in basketball as a commentator. Isaiah Lloyd Thomas, one of the truly great
players. I'm good. Glad with the NBA TV. And also I have some more news, Doc.
Go ahead.
I know y'all heard about Jerry Boss is in the hospital. He got cancer.
Yeah. Well,
he's 79 years old.
I believe he
said he's
maybe
doing a little better.
Okay.
He took over the franchise since 1979.
Really?
And then he took the team to 16 finals, and they won 10 titles.
Wow. Not to mention, for history for you, they are one title away for tying the Boston Celtics.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
In NBA history. And what we want to do with that, let's take a quick minute here to do a little Black history.
And also, Doc, you don't forget, your best friend's birthday is coming up on Wednesday. Sir Charles Barkley, he'd be 50 years old. Charles Barkley, he'd be 50 on Wednesday.
You guys, Mr. Doc Stanley, who keeps a log of birthday, did you forget that Jim Brown turned 21 Friday or Thursday?
Jim Brown. You know what? I mentioned that. Hold on. You know what? Let's get this.
Hello, Jim Brown.
71.
Wow. One of the greatest running backs of all time.
I'm glad you said that because this is the problem that I have when you use the phrase of the greatest of all time.
I was going to say that. I had in my notes, Dusty, you were jumping on there because what I did in the
West
living, one. You know, it's funny now because, you know, the 12th, Russell turned, I think Russell turned 79. Didn't Russell turn
79, yes, correct.
And then on the 15th, Jim Brown turned 71.
Wow.
Then the 16th was John McEnroe's birthday. Now, Barkley's birthday is this Wednesday?
Yes, sir.
So he's going to, that's the 20th.
Yeah, he'd be 50. Wow.
And the thing about it, Eddie Murray has a birthday the 24th of this month.
Only that.
We know that's a good basketball team. Jordan, Barkley, okay. Here's your team. Hey, fellas, listen to this. I just found this out now. We got Russell this month. He's a center, okay? Barkley's a forward. Okay, ready for this? The other forward, Dr. J, on the 22nd, okay?
February.
And then we got Jordan in the backcourt. With that team, any one of us can play the other backcourt spot.
There ain't no over the hill gang neither.
that is a tremendous amount of players. Looking at my little Black history real quick here, some of the pictures that I put in the opening, and what I want to do too, I wanted to play a little bit of this.
Anybody like the report card? Report?
Who like the report card?
This is a debate.
In the background, I'm playing a little Marvin Gaye and Nona Gaye. This is not an anthem that Gaye sung at the 1983 NBA All-Star game. And what I wanted to do is use that as an intro into our pitches that we have, the names that we have on on our tag, Jackie Robinson, as we do Black History Month. Jackie was not only the first African-American in Major League Baseball, but Jackie won the first ever Rookie of the Year Award in 1947. And in 1949, 2 years later, became the first African-American to not only win a batting title, but to win the batting title and MVP in the same year. Muhammad Ali, enough said, the first man ever to win the title three times. And, he just really... don't have to say.
Well, hey. 38 years old, wasn't he?
Beat Leon Spinks.
He was 38, wasn't he?
Yeah, you really don't have to say any more about that.
And I want to make this statement about Ali, Doc, and I don't think I can be contradicted. To my knowledge, never ducked anyone.
Well, I mean, I think that's the thing that we talked about. I mean, his resume shows three fights with Frazier, three fights with Norton. he beat Foreman the only time he saw him. Beat Liston twice. I mean, so it's you know, when I think
the Phantom Punch, yeah.
The Phantom Punch is the second fight, but he beat him
well,
the first.
Well, Doc, Chris Paul is MVP.
Yeah, Chris Paul is MVP number 3.
Really? Yeah, well, that's why I gave them. That's why they got the grade they got because of him.
Okay,
that's another reason why, because of him. He turned that team around.
Yeah, but what's the final score, Usa? Go to the final?
I'll let you know. Hold up, bro.
140. Oh, man, 140. Oh,
who's close?
They just erased it, and I forgot.
Yeah,
that's
not
right.
But it was in the 40s. They beat him by, I think, 12 points.
Yeah.
Another defensive struggle. Also, they had Jackie Robinson. It's okay. No more said first African American to make baseball, won MVP, batting title 1949. Ali, first 3-time champion. Serena Williams. I mean, no African American has won as many Grand Slam tournaments, and she is the oldest female
31 years
to
old.
Ever retain the number one ranking. So just a great, great. And I remember when they first came to New York, and her and her sister. Cause everybody's talking about Serena, and her father always said that Serena. Because everybody's talking about Venus, said Serena was the better of the two. Michael Jordan, enough said. Michael Jeffrey Jordan, born on this day 50 years ago in Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, New York. What can you say about Michael? Hasn't been said. Many say the greatest player to ever play the game. But I say, can we ever forget Julius Erving? I mean, Julius Erving said something that was so profound. Julius said, at 26 years old, I can't envision anybody better than me. And what people forget, it was Julius Erving. Like Joe Namath, that brought the NBA-ABA merger. They wanted to see the doctor, and that's why you have the NBA at its height now, because Julius Erving was the reason that there was a merger. Oscar Palmer Robinson. Black history-wise, Oscar Robinson was College Player of the Year every year in college. He came out of college averaging 33 points, 15 rebounds and 7 assists a game from the forward slot, which meant, in all intents and purposes, because like I told you, they counted assists differently then than they do now. He actually averaged triple-double from the forward spot. And when he came out of college, he was college basketball's all-time leading scorer. And the first time Oscar Robinson played in Madison Square Garden, because it was said by Nate Holman that the African-American couldn't play, because college basketball is bigger than pro basketball, that they couldn't handle it. Oscar Robinson scored 56 points in his first game in Madison Square Garden when there was no clock, and his 56 points was more than the entire Seton Hall team. It was Oscar Robinson 56, Seton Hall 44.
Hey, Doc, I got some history for you for the NBA All-Star game. Chris Paul is the first Clipper in NBA history to win the All-Star MVP.
Yeah.
I got some history for you guys, too, man. Who's the first black world champion?
Of what?
Boxing. My bad.
Boxing. Yeah, give us his name one more time, Hoster.
His name is George Dixon. He was from Canada. He won the featherweight title in 1891. He is actually credited for inventing shadow boxing.
And tell us why he had interviewed.
Say it again.
Tell us why.
How are you doing?
You told me the story of why he had to do it.
Well, he did it because back in those days, of course, racism was huge. He couldn't stay against the road.
Okay, final score, 143-138.
Yeah, Chris Paul, 20 points and 15 assists.
What was that for Paul?
20 points,
no, the West
15 assists.
143-138.
And first Clipper to win an MVP award in an All-Star game.
And his stats one more time?
20 points, 15 assists.
Wow. Okay. And we're getting back. I mean, reminds me of Oscar Robinson. Now, George Dixon, 1891, featherweight. And you talk about racism hasn't changed much. But, Cisco, again, tell us why he had to learn how to shadow box.
Well, because he couldn't stay against the ropes like fighters do today, that, you know, lay on the ropes and they fight off the ropes. He couldn't do that because, Nick, I'm on the phone. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys.
In the studio. Go ahead.
He couldn't stay against the ropes because they would club his ankles, and his knees while he was laying against the ropes. So he had to learn how to box in the middle of the ring.
Cisco,
you know?
Cisco, tell us who they were, please.
Oh, of course, the white fans who didn't like the fact that that a black was dominating a white opponent.
George Dixon.
So, you know, this is pretty much way before Jack Johnson became, heavyweight champion of the world. And that's what we know as the first world champion is Jack Johnson. But,
yeah, the first black heavyweight champion, George Jack Johnson, December 26, 1908. And to show you how things hadn't changed from 1891, when Jack Johnson won the heavyweight championship of the world, all hell broke loose through America.
Yeah, but I got something else to tell you, too. The same year Jack Johnson won the title, George Dixon died.
Wow. You know what's amazing about that?
Hold on.
Back. You know what's amazing about that? It's funny that you said it, because in the year that Jackie Robinson came into Major League Baseball, that's the same year that Josh Gibson died. Josh Gibson died in January of 1947, and Jackie came into baseball in April of 19. And you said Dixon died. And, you know, the thing about when Jack Johnson won the championship, like I said, all through America, there were race riots. All through America, there was lynchings, burnings of blacks. And the thing about the fight when Johnson fought Jim Jeffries, who came out of retirement, that was the first time ever women were allowed ringside and there was no prelim. All you saw, all you got was the main event. My goodness, only in America.
Well, you saw what happened before he knocked out Jeffries. The video clip was cut. They didn't want that to be filmed. You know, so they didn't want a black fighter.
You was at that fight. Who was winning until he got knocked out?
you
probably
Jack
stuck
Johnson
on stone.
Jeffries. Jeffries. Jack
you
Johnson,
know,
Jeffries.
The same thing,
yeah.
Doc, was Joe Louis was beating the hell out of Max Schmeling. As it became clear that he was destroying Schmeling, he had the audio and the sound, the radio feed cut off.
Well, I mean, the Schmeling situation was one. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. The crew's all here. Dusty, call him
Joe Louis,
X-Rap really Brown, the Cisco Kid, Melko Sub Jr., the Hoopster. Did C-Wings join us here yet? Is Rex Ryan's guy here yet? And, the thing about, I'll never forget Eddie Robinson, the winningest coach in college football history since they've taken away the wins away from Joe Paterno. Eddie Robinson told me something I'll never forget. Coach Robinson told me something I'll never forget. And he said, remember listening to the intro, he said, and the radio announcer said, and the American, Joe Louis, is coming into the ring. And he said something to me I will never, ever forget. And in our Sports In Depth Plus and Guard Hall of Fame, I have some autographs of me and the coach, autograph program. And he said that the ring announcer said, the radio announcer said, the American, Joe Louis, is entering the ring. And Mr. Robinson said that was the first time he ever heard a black man called an American. And I want to do some real quick on the other.
It was convenient. Don't you understand that was convenient? Because if you're talking about the Joe Louis Schmeling fight,
yeah,
it was an anti-Nazi Germany attitude. So they had to have their pin boy, their all American boy, and of course who was the all American boy? But the brown bomber, Joe Louis. Other than that,
with Joe Louis on
the
right hand, he dropped like a bad habit.
Hey, you know what, Dusty, you bring a point up too, because you know when Louis got the shot at Braddock, you know, Schmeling was gonna get the shot at Braddock, and there was a lot of sentiment towards Schmeling getting the title shot because he didn't want a black man to win the title. So
this is where the hypocrisy comes in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything changes to
convenience.
Well,
we know exactly what you're saying. All of a sudden, even in that case, Joe Louis was an American, so the American got the title shot as opposed to the guy from Nazi.
Well,
right.
in order for him to get that shot,
he had to pay him 10% for the rest of his life.
10% of his first 10 years actually was for the rest of his life because nobody fought more than 10 years. Who thought Joe Louis was going to fight 12 years? So you're really right. He had to give 10% of his purse to Braddock, and then the rest, they say, is history. Gentlemen, give me 2 seconds here. We'll go back to some other pictures. The first picture you see, we talked about Stevie Wonder and his Stevie Wonderful, as Smokey Robinson calls him, who changed the face of Grammys. He won his hoarder Grammys back in the 70s. He said, hey, whoa, where are the Grammys for the Latin music? Where's Tito? Where's Celia? Where's Grand Combo? And that's when they implemented Grammys for the Latin music. Now, the first picture you see among the pictures, Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder, when he won a host of Grammys back in the 70s, he won them 8 or 9 games. He called some other people up to win. He said, another thing I want to say, where are the Grammys for Latin music?
They were all behind screen, and it took a near riot by the Latino ball players. He may have been a voice, but it took a near riot of Latino ball players that were going to boycott the freaking Grammys.
What year was this?
A long time ago, my friend. And just recently, Latin jazz was reinstated because we formed a control protest because they took Latin jazz out of the category because it was nothing but contemporary jazz like the American jazz. That was stupid. We called it racism. We sent letters, and they turned around and said, okay, rather than have
It's amazing how you mention that, Dusty, because it's amazing how America has never accepted Latin jazz or jazz. And Miles Davis talked about that. In fact, let me play – while we play some – I talk about this. Let's go and do – Miles talked about how in foreign countries the appreciation and the recognition of jazz artists was just so tremendous. And I'm playing it back. John Coltrane was discovered by Miles Davis in that first great quartet, Kind of Blue. It was Coltrane on the tenor sax, Cannibal Adderley on the alto, Bill Evans on the piano, Paul Chambers on bass, Philly Joe Jones on the drums, and of course Miles Davis on trumpet. And Miles talked about what you're saying, and Jabbar alluded to that too, how this constant submerging lack of recognition of jazz music for the simplicity that are seen as black music. And yet, when I talked about this too, we're going to have him, Dusty. I can't think of his name, the tracker from the, up at the Armory. We talked about that too, how track stars too, because of the populace of high African Americans, Europeans appreciate track and jazz, and yet Americans don't. It's a simple thing.
Because
what you said,
it was black music, man. It was guttural black music. That's why. But when the Maynard Fergusons and the Stan Kentons, and the Shorty Rogerses, and all, and
Stan Getz,
all them suckers took over, it became white music. But jazz was dirty, guttural country music for black folks. And yet, some of the greatest jazz musicians are recognized today as white guys.
Country music was really black. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Hit it again. Go ahead, Muscles. Hit it.
Country music is really black music. You know that. I mean,
well, not only that, Muscles,
own, so.
You bring a trim. I mean, I was down in New Orleans. I just came back with my beloved daughter, Demony, and my niece. Hey, Dusty, man, Gabby set up a tour for us. We're talking about his daughter, my niece.
Yeah.
Gabby set up a tour for us, man. We went through certain parts of New Orleans. If I can have these guys come on the show and be with us. And one of the places we went to was we stopped the first night we got there before we hit Bourbon Street. And Bourbon, man, Bourbon Street, Fat Tuesdays, man, it's fat like they say. And I saw a piece that Antone, who we call Fats Domino signed. And what had happened is what you guys are saying of the redundancy of the injustice that are insurmountable inflicted upon African Americans and Latins. And Fats Domino would write songs, and then Pat Boone would re-sing them, and they would become million sellers, big hits, you know what I mean? The same song that Fats would sing.
Typical.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll never forget the story of New Edition. They couldn't get airtime. And I have in the intro here, Harry Belafonte, Black History, ladies and gentlemen. Harry Belafonte was the first person to ever sell a million albums. Not the Beatles, not Frank Sinatra, not Bing Crosby, Harry Belafonte. And it was Michael Jackson and Prince who put videos, okay, on the market. When Jackson came out with Beat It, CBS told the people that were on Beat It, if you don't play Mike, we're pulling the rest of our stuff. As you know, the profound effect that Mike, When Doves Cry by Prince. And, you know, we're talking about as this is Black History Month.
Don't forget MTV, Doc.
Wait a second.
Don't forget MTV, Doc. They won't play black videos neither.
Wait a second. You know, there is no White History Month, man. Black History is all year. You understand what I'm saying?
I like that, man.
You know,
I like
there
that.
Is no White History Month or whatever. You know,
yeah,
I mean, come
the thing
on.
I like about too,
I
always said,
month?
You know, they give us February, the shortest month of the year. And what people forget, and now H-Rack, calm down. What people forget, two things here, you know, New York City was contemplating seceding from the Union to keep their slaves they had down the Wall Street area. People forget about that. You know, New York didn't want to let their slaves go. I mean, it's in the words of Harold Weston Jr. Where the heck is Harold? It's sad and touching. Let me go back to this board real quick. We want to Ernie Davis. Ernie Davis was the first ever African American to win the Heisman Trophy Award. Running back out of Syracuse, but the situation happened. He was drafted by Washington, which was the last team to get a black football player. They made a trade. Ernie was going to go to Cleveland and be in the backfield with the incomparable Jim Brown. And Bobby Mitchell became the first black player ever to play for the Washington Redskins. Ernie died of leukemia. Charlie Ward, this is an amazing story, Charlie Ward. Charlie Ward is the first black quarterback to win the Heisman Trophy. And then, everybody, I hope you're sitting down. Here's a guy that didn't get drafted.
Nope.
The number one football player in college on the number one football team, and they said, excuse me, nigga, we're not going to draft you.
But he did have a phone call for somebody, though, Doc.
Listen, Hoopster, a phone call ain't being drafted. This is the number one player on the number one team. He was the number one player in college football for his last 2 years, and nobody drafted him?
But he's also played basketball, so he went with the Knicks.
Hey, he was a Heisman Trophy winner in football, basketball.
I know, football, but
so
he played, but he's a good basketball player. He was a football player, so
yeah,
he made a good decision.
He had no choice. How do you – I mean, listen, let's talk about Reggie Jackson. The Mets told Reggie, we're not drafting you. We're not drafting you, Reggie. And you know why?
Because he had a Mexican white wife. That's why. They didn't want interracial marriages.
Dusty, can you please tell us the Vic Powell story, please? Could you please tell us that one?
Well, you know, I've said it many times before. He was a college standout. He married a college sweetheart who happened to be a white Mexican. And when they realized he was married to a white woman,
Joan Payton.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No. She had died. She was gone.
Donald Grant.
No. The Payton family was there. She was still there. She didn't die before Reggie. She was a head horse who denied Reggie, and then Reggie went to Oakland. The rest was history. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, we're talking sports, but yes, it's relative to
She had died, Dusty, because after she died.
No, she did not. She was
hold
still
on, hold
alive.
On, back
she was
up,
a
back up, back up, because they because that's because they fired Willie Mays as a coach.
No. Look it up. Reggie.
They fired Willie as a coach.
She was still alive. That creep was still alive, and she denied Reggie. So,
Calm down. There he is, baby. He's like, he got the dashiki on, and he's picking out the afro, baby.
Yeah.
He's playing all the
afro pick. That's the afro pick.
And he's playing some Les Paul's music, too, baby. Ease up, Dusty. Calm down. Calm down.
He ain't playing some musical chairs, that's for sure.
Go outside and walk.
I'm telling you facts. If I'm wrong, this is why I challenge you guys. If I'm wrong, please look it up. Go to Wikipedia. Go into the history.
You're 100% right about they said, because the Vic Powell story was, you know, Vic Powell was supposedly be the first black on the Yankees, but the same thing. His wife was Cuban.
Yeah.
She looked white, and they said sayonara.
They didn't want any mixed marriages. Instead of looking into the history, that Latinos are every color of the rainbow, man. But it's all, it's
the same thing like Brazilian. Gentlemen, give me just a second. Ernie Davis, the first African American to win the Heisman Trophy. Charlie Ward, first African American quarterback. Jim Brown, and there's nothing to be said. 8 out of his 9 years, he led the NFL in rushing from the fullback spot, considered by many the greatest football player that ever lived. We talked about Michael Jordan. Nothing upset about. The other thing about Michael, though, and I've said this, and my, you know, if I got to be stuck with Michael Jordan as the greatest player ever played, but they act like Michael Jordan is the only guy to ever play this game. In today's, I remember.
Well, you see, the fact of the matter is, Doc, that in fact, I'm opposed to that. This Saturday, I'm reading the Post, and they're talking about the controversy about LeBron James and the Michael Jordans. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, well, LeBron James could never be as good as Michael because, after all, he only has one ring and Michael has 6. I said, is greatness divided or analyzed because of the many rings you have?
Yeah, exactly. Nonsense.
Well, then, the article came back at the bottom and says, well, then Bill Russell is better than Michael Jordan because Russell has 11. So you're going to
measure
greatness.
You know what the problem is? That most of these writers, these guys that are given the analytical
young
views, they don't know. They're not historians. They don't know the sport.
Same thing
happens in boxing. You know,
Floyd Mayweather,
the greatest fighter that ever lived.
What you're saying is exactly. Oscar Robertson, 1997 All Star Game. Writer comes to Oscar. He says, Oscar, you know, today's basketball players are not cognizant of the players that come before me. He's basically trying to say, these black guys are not aware of the guys. Oscar said, hold on. This ain't about basketball. He said, this is across the board in our society. Everybody today, whether they be writers, whether they be secretaries, painters, lawyers, doctors, nobody today is cognizant of the people who went before them. And the point you make, not only that, Muscles, is also the fact that you have guys, in the old days, you had guys like Dick Young, Ike Guinness, Gene Ward, Murray Allen. These guys were sports writers who started out in the sports department. Now what they do, they take Dusty, who is doing opera for 5 years, and let him handle boxing. They take me, who was covering homicide for 3 years, they make me a baseball writer, and they take you, who was covering Latin music for the last 6 years, and make you a boxer. So these guys have no sense of history and don't know any. The point you make is well taken. And LeBron's point was, before I got on the air, Dusty, I said the same thing. So you're telling me that Casey Jones with 8 rings is better than Oscar Robertson, Walt Frazier, Earl Monroe? And you're telling me that Sat Sanders with 8 rings is better than Rick Barry, Elgin Baylor?
Well, I don't know if you misunderstood what I said. I said that's the opposite. Because LeBron James could be, for argument's sake, a better ball player all around than Michael Jordan.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying rings are not the criteria.
Right. Well, rings are not the criteria. But then when people walk around and say, he's the greatest, this is where I get uptight. I get an ulcer because the greatest is a very nebulous, very delicate identification of a ball player. You're dealing with eras, and you're dealing with how the person was great in his time, not the greatest all around. The guy,
you know what
Jim Rohn, that's the guy.
You know what
Jim
the problem? Yeah,
Friday.
You know what the problem is, Dusty.
Jim Brown was the greatest football player in the NFL. I said, this guy's full of shit. I'm sorry, I can't say that word. The guy's full of it.
He can't be saying that.
That's not because, first of all, you got to understand one thing, and this is the point that I want to lay down for all of you. You got to understand one thing. Basketball is a team sport. Baseball is a team sport.
That's right.
So
one man is not,
now,
you know.
Now, the guy could be an outstanding ball player in a team, and he gets all enough assists. He plays, he outstands. But the only time that a person is an individual, even though he has team destino, but when that bell rings, I'm the only one in there.
Hey,
it's me.
You know, I'm going to say something.
And this is what you have to understand, that when they say the greatest all around,
look,
it doesn't work.
You know, the thing about Jordan that's a little bit different is that you got great players, one of the greatest players, saying that he's the greatest of all time. I mean, you had a lot of these guys are saying it about Jordan. So that's where the you know It's hard to really question.
And let me say something else, Doc, that everybody seems to overlook about the Jordan experience, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Scottie Pippen, he had a teammate who was absolutely positively suited for his game, okay?
Exactly. Nobody ever talked about that. He definitely was, you know, that
crutch.
Well, you
know, the thing, too, here, hold on, gentlemen, and this is a big thing people forget about Michael. Michael played in an era. I mean, this thing, when you talk about Ali Frazier won. You talk about what that fight did in the era of simply the telephone and television. Michael played in the era when basketball started going global, when you started catching NBA games every week. The exposure that Michael got was 100 times more than that of Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Earl Monroe, Dr. You know, people understand there were people who saw Michael. Another thing about Michael, you know, Michael really didn't want to sign with Nike. Adidas is where he wanted to go, but his parents told him, go ahead down, you know. So, but, I mean, you can't take nothing away from the greatness of Michael Jordan. But the point is, Michael's exposure was so much greater than some of the great players that came before him.
Yeah, the publicity and the Nike contracts and all that he did.
Dusty, the commercials and the
screen.
You're right, Dusty. It didn't hurt.
Now the guy's making, what, over $100 million from Nike sneakers.
Magic Johnson told Converse, why don't you do a sneaker for Dr. J called Docs? And Converse said, even though they said Chuck Taylor, they said that a player couldn't sell sneakers. So, I mean, you know, the exposure that Michael got was – and that's what I said, too, about Michael. You know, if you don't – you know, if Michael's playing back with Russell and Chamberlain – and Unsil and Nate Thurman and Willis.
He'd be carrying the bucket.
He ain't ducking four or five times a game, man.
He ain't dunking
the ball over Jabbar, over Russell, over Chamberlain,
exactly
over
saying.
Thurman, over Unsil. He ain't dunking four or five times a game. I asked Walt Frazier one time. Cry.
He's a towel carrier, man.
He's a dusty. I said.
Yeah, look. Let's talk about last night's fight, man.
Hold on, real quick. You know what? Let's do a little quick American Black History.
Did you see that?
I have a lot of music here, so hold on a minute. This here, Temptation, probably greatest country sound African American group of all time. Came to Motown. Barry Gordy changed their name to the Pirates, as they and the Supremes used to be the Prime and the Primettes. And what happened is he changed the name back to the Temptations. Their first hit, written by Smokey Robinson, The Way You Do the Things You Do. Their first million seller was My Girl, one of the legendary groups of all time, probably the best pound-for-pound all-around group. David Ruffin, Melvin Franklin, Otis Williams, Paul Williams, and none other than Eddie Kendrick. This here is my man, Billy Paul. Me and Mr. Jones, the rest is history. Love that. And Billy, love this song too. Billy, unbeknownst to a lot of people, started as a boxer. And he always talked about how often Miles Davis would call him up and say, why don't you come on down to the gym so I can knock you out? The young lady here, unbeknownst to a lot of people, one of the great singers of our time. And she was discovered by none other than the legendary Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder was the one who discovered one of the great singers of our time and one of the legendary singers of our time. One and only, none other than Chaka Khan. Donny Hathaway. This is a classic. Hathaway wrote this song, sung this song, and has become one of the greatest Christmas songs of all time. This Christmas. And Donny, his daughter, Layla Holloway, that sounds so much like him, supposedly died of suicide from one of the great singers of our time, anytime. This man is simply called Stevie Wonderful. And that Stevie Wonder, we told you about his impact on getting the Latins, but also this song here, Hal Jackson, one of his mentors, was instrumental in the foundation and coming about of King Day. This song is dedicated to Dr. King. For Stevie Wonder, enough can be said about Stevie, one of the great, great singers of our time, part of Motown. And him and Marvin Gaye were the first and only two guys that got some free reign at Motown. This is our song that we open up with the prayer. John Coltrane,
considered to be the greatest tenor sax of all time, discovered by Miles Dewey Davis, and his greatest album, Love Supreme, a dedication to God. And it was Miles who Davis said, when he first discovered Miles, discovered Train, he said Train was a diamond in the rough who he knew was going to be the diamond of the group. Train died about 1967, about 37 years old, but considered by many the greatest tenor saxophone of all time, the legendary, the incomparable John Coltrane. Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye was the prince of Motown, and his album, What's Going On, I think, is the most profound album. It changed the whole course of music. It was the first time he was allowed freedom. In the first album, he had constant music. The album never stopped. Marvin Gaye, history, legacy, never stopped. Nat King Cole. This song was written by...
Who really cares?
The Christmas song was written by Mel Torme. And I remember my Aunt Dempsey saying that when you hear this song, it doesn't sound like Christmas until you hear Nat King Cole. Cole was a tremendous piano player. The legend is one day, while he was playing, a guy got up and said, "Hey, all you can do is play, why don't you sing something?" The rest is history. And Cole had a 15-minute TV show. And the reason why it's 15 minutes, because nobody would sponsor the show. America the Beautiful. Some things change, they remain the same. This is the last great hit by the Temptations. Number one across the board. R&B, rock, soul, led by Eddie Kendricks, who left the group after this. Just My Imagination. And I said, I think without cause, they were probably the greatest pound-for-pound soul group of all time. Eddie Kendricks, Paul Williams, Otis Williams, David Ruffin, and Melvin Franklin. We all the Temptations.
You know, what's so funny about that, Doc, the irony of what you're saying is the only show that I ever saw at the world-famous Apollo featured Eddie Kendricks as a solo act, David Ruffin as a solo act, and the Miracles without Smokey, some tall guy. Like,
yeah, it was funny, too, because that you said, because it was Smokey who wrote their first hit, The Way to Do the Things You Do, and Smokey who wrote their first million-selling hit, My Girl. And it's amazing you said it because David left the group first. Eddie left the group second. Eddie said he didn't want to leave the group. He just wanted to make an album and come on back because the powers that be would let him do it. And he was the only Temptation that left the group and became successful on his own. We're going to talk boxing in just a minute, but we're going to let Billy Paul have his say. And we'll be back. Doc Kelly, Voice of Death, Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. And Billy Paul will bring us in to part two. That's Sports to Death. We are saying happy birthday to Michael Jeffrey Jordan. We're jumping the gun and saying happy birthday to Charles Wade Barkley. And saying the same thing to Eddie Murray. We're backing up and tell William Felton Russell happy birthday. We're remembering on the second Arthur Ashe. And also remembering the birthday of Audrey Chambliss, wife of Chris Chambliss. Jim Brown. No one need to be said. I once said to late Dick Lunch, how good was Jim Brown? He said it was all they had. We knew he was coming, but we couldn't stop him anyway. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, Block Talk Radio, Trusted God Radio Network. Chipotle is what brings you Sports and Depth. That's right. They're number one in Fortaleza, Brazil, but they're numero uno in El Mundo. Calzone, sandwiches, hamburgers. So whatever you want. Chipotle. I'll get the number for you to be calling in Brazil. But right now, we're just going to go back and here go. They're all here. Yeah. Doc Stanley. Sports in Depth. Blog Talk Radio and the Trust in God Radio Network. Well, Chris Paul is the MVP in the NBA All-Star Game. The Rangers beat the Washington Capitals 3-2 tonight. It is Michael Jeffrey Jordan's birthday. He's the big 5-0. And he scored 55 points in his debut on his return against the Knicks, wearing number 45.
With the wrong sneaker size.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, you know what? Imagine if he had the right sneakers on. Okay, they tell me.
100 points. He would have scored 100 points.
Hey, and
he would have scored 100.
He passed the ball to Bill Willington for 30. That's what he would tell us.
because rumor has it that now Alvarez and Cotto is out, and Alvarez and Trout is in. We don't know what Mayweather's going to do.
You better not fight Trout.
Hold on. Bernard Hopkins is fighting next month. Danny Garcia is
that
Judah. Will do it in April. Serena Williams becomes the oldest female, African-American or not, to win and obtain the number one ranking.
31, the oldest. Don't forget the oldest, Doctor. 31 years old.
At 31 years old, which really ain't that old, because me and Dusty are only 42.
My mom's talking highly about her.
That's right.
My mom's talking highly about her.
And other things are happening. We've got some tennis coming up in Madison Square Garden. It's going to happen next month. The BNP Paribas Showdown, March 4th. Nadal, Del Potro, Williams, and Azarenka will all be there. Rafael Nadal comes 42-2, 11-time Grand Slam winner. Juan Martin Del Potro, the 209 years Open champion. Victoria Azarenka, number one woman player. Not anymore. I like that. Because who's number one? 15-time Grand Slam singles champion. Serena Williams, her and her sister have won 5 Wimbledon. The last 10 Wimbledon have been won by a Williams. If it wasn't Serena, guess what? It was her sister Venus. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Touch and Guard Radio Network. Other things, Michael Jordan, happy birthday. Dr. J, he's still number one to me. Nobody was better all around than Oscar Palmer Robinson. Don't forget Jack Roosevelt Robinson. A life is not important except for the impact it has on another life. Join us. They're here. Sports in Depth, Block Talk Radio on the Touch and Guard Radio Network. Let's talk boxing. And with that, let's ring the bell one more time. There it is. Okay, Cisco, start it off, baby. Ding, ding, ding.
Well, you know, we saw this weekend Adrian Broner win, what was it, a fifth round knockout over Gavin Rees.
Can we get some competition for this guy, please?
Say it again?
Can we get some competition? I'm looking at these guys that have a hard time, they would have a hard time beating PAL fighters. Can we get somebody at the very least?
You know, the truth is...
4 or 5 rounds of decent competition.
You're right.
The guy
wasn't a 40-1 underdog like Buster Douglas was to Mike Tyson. He was
he
a 50-1 underdog. You understand?
He was not
given a chance
1?
In hell to win this fight.
First of all, he was small. He was undersized. He had no punch. He had no chin.
Yeah, no speed neither.
He had been stopped before.
No speed.
If you go back to 2008, he was stopped by Andre Kotelnik. Amir Khan beat for the title, and actually who practically beat, who was it? Devon Alexander. But he still gave him the fight. He was stopped by him by TKO in the 12th round
back in
2008. He only held the title for one fight.
One fight.
He won it back in 2007. He's a small guy. He actually started at 130 pounds. He did go down weight to fight Broner, but you could see he was a smaller guy. He barely reached Broner. You see a guy who was he was not matched. It was a mismatch, but you could see if the guy had some power, if the guy was a little bit taller and was able to get in on Broner, it would have been a different fight, you know.
Yeah, because he had top in his gloves because he had 19 knockouts, man. This guy, 39-1-1 and 19 knockouts, and he did reach Broner better than the other guy, Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is the fact that, and this is something that has to be understood very clearly. You know, everybody gets carried away by the greatness, and great than nothing. This guy is a fledgling who has been fighting mincemeat, guys who he can beat easily, including the other guy, Alvarado, whatever the guy's name is.
Right.
Now, this one.
Bessie, did you say mincemeat?
Yeah, mincemeat. Now, let me open up a worm here. First of all, the guy is a wannabe Floyd Mayweather. Talk like a Floyd Mayweather. Fight like a Floyd Mayweather.
Hits harder than Mayweather.
And his heart.
Boxer and Ray
he does fight for the same guy too, Al Heyman.
No, but at the same height, the fact of the matter is that he also uses his elbow like Mayweather. And he had this guy, he has his elbow,
wow.
He has his elbow under this guy's neck.
He does elbows, huh? Like playing basketball,
now,
huh?
Yeah,
yeah, but you know
so
what?
The thing
you know
that
what?
I'm trying to say
you know
here,
what?
And let's not get carried away. The thing I'm trying to say here is that he has not fought dudes who will challenge him, dudes
no,
who may have
he's
a
not.
Good record, dudes who may have been
that's
champs. It. But they have not challenged him. Now, until he fights the Bam Bam Rioses and the Matisses, because he's looking to get 40, and until he fights those guys who are competitive, then if he wins, I'll be sold on him. As far as I'm concerned,
Dusty,
he's just
Dusty,
a wannabe
Dusty.
Nobody.
Dusty, I'm gonna say this. That's not going to happen. I mean, he has Al Heyman. In his
oh, yeah.
You know what Al Heyman does? He cherry picks opponents for his fighters anyway.
Exactly.
But I'm going to tell you another thing is. I'm going to tell you another thing is. We seem to forget. Remember that fight back in 2011 when he fought Ponce de Leon? That many people felt he lost that fight.
Yeah.
Did you see that fight?
Yeah.
He was. Actually, Harold Letterman had it. I think it was 96-94 for Ponce de
Leon. Harold had it the other way.
He had it for Ponce de Leon, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he had it for Ponce de Leon. So he really isn't not that. He's 26-0 with whatever, 22 knockouts, the greatest, and I'm going to be doing this, and I'll fight anybody.
You know, you could look like that when you're fighting stiff opponents, you know, when you're
exactly.
fighting nobody.
When you're fighting
everybody knew. Everybody knew this guy was going to get beat. It was just a matter of time when he would get beat. The fact of the matter is that until this guy goes and fights a guy like you said, like a Brandon Rios, like a Lucas Matisse, you know, we're not gonna respect this guy for his skill level, you know.
Hey Cisco, let me say this, okay? I mean, with all due respect to fighters, because you know I did some amateur boxing, and I know that's a hell of a rough business. All right. But the truth be told, that this guy's fighting. Let me finish that. The truth be told, that this guy's fighting guys who should be driving cabs for a living.
Guys, that's boxing today. Okay.
Yeah.
What happened to the super fights of old? We don't see that today. You understand?
Well, you
super fights today
guys.
Are super hypes. You understand?
Yeah.
You always see the guys that are undefeated and they're fighting guys. Who you know, always sees these fights that are mismatched. When was the last time we saw a Floyd Mayweather fight and said, man, I don't know who's going to win that fight?
Exactly.
We haven't.
Exactly.
You understand?
We haven't. Maybe
right.
back to Diego. I mean, you
Diego
can't
Corrales.
Remember.
Or Castillo.
You can't.
Castillo who beat
in most fights.
So, I mean, yeah, but the fact is that we do have, and you're right, Frisco, we do have these, we got to keep this guy undefeated so we feed him stiffs. Bodies from the European morphs.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what? If this guy is fighting with Mayweather, where is he going to go? I mean, Adam's not going to fight him. He's not going to fight Mayweather. I mean, where is he eventually going to go?
Who? Yubi Broner?
Yeah, where is he going to? I mean,
Doc, listen to me.
Yeah.
Doc, when fight, you know, Muhammad Ali wanted to fight somebody, right? He went in for him. Right? He didn't ask no questions. He asked for that fight. If fighters want to fight other fighters, they'll fight them.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, my promoter and his promoter.
Yeah,
you're the man there. You're the
these
fighter.
Guys,
you understand?
The promoter's on everything. Pacquiao's promoter tells him who to fight these guys. Hold on, gentlemen. Sea Wings, are you here?
Sea Wings have landed.
Let's give Rex Ryan's right-hand man a few minutes, because, you know, because we were talking now. First of all, we're going to give some easy stuff, you know. Is RG3 going to be ready for opening day?
RG3 should be ready for opening day. He's going through the rehab. He will be ready to go preseason to play in the regular 2013 season. RG3 will be up and ready to go.
Okay, Michael Vick, it seems now that everything has changed. The new coach has come in. He's got a system that Vick's like. And there's also talk about the quarterback from Pittsburgh who may be the number two guy. So Michael Vick. Yeah. So Michael Vick, hoops are right, no, Pittsburgh. Michael Vick is happy again in Philadelphia?
$10 million for 1 year.
He restructured his contract. For $10 million, maybe a little less with the incentives, the showing up for training camp and things like that. They do well in the draft. They get those pieces. Michael Vick and the Philadelphia Eagles can be a threat like they used to be many years ago under Donovan McNabb when they did play and make it to the Super Bowl. So we have to just watch. If he stays healthy, they give him that protection. He makes those good decisions not to always kind of put himself out there because we know Michael Vick, he is older.
Here's the other thing.
Go ahead,
Houston. Yeah, I was going to ask C-Wings. You think that coach would do well from Oregon, Kelly?
Well, we have to see. We have to see. I mean, obviously, coaching and college football as opposed to the NFL is totally different. Totally different. And college, you're playing to get to the NFL. In the NFL, you're playing to stay in the NFL.
They have a job. Be right about that.
I'm looking at the Giants, and our good friend, and me and Dusty love him dearly, Jerry Reese. I mean, there's some things happening over there. Ahmad Bradshaw has a second year of 1,000 yards. He's gone. Canty's gone.
Cleveland,
I mean,
house.
He's cutting house like, you know.
Hey, they might be all going to the Jets, Doc. That might be a Jets team.
Ahmad Bradshaw said he doesn't mind playing for the Jets. He said it. He doesn't mind being running for the
Jets.
Would the Jets have the money to? Will the Jets have the money to pick him up, or would the Giants try to bring these players back? Maybe one or two of the cut players at a cut rate, a lower rate. But
they cut Canty, Bradshaw, the big name. Do you think those guys would come back? I mean, do you think Bradshaw? I mean, I'm thinking too. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trust and Dog Radio Network, Sports in Depth, Sunday Wrap, was saying happy birthday to Michael Jordan, who celebrated 50th yesterday. Charles Wade Barkley has one company. The great Eddie Murray has one. Will Russell had one. Jim Brown just passed us. I mean, do you think that Bradshaw? I mean, there was a big article about Bradshaw being this fiery player and jumping on his teammates. Do you think that could have been a factor in him being sliced, C-Wings?
I mean, it's, we look at it's all with the numbers and the business of the NFL. Also, you look at his longevity. I mean, he's not the oldest player, but in terms of his health.
He's been injured,
he's always had problems.
Yeah, the guy's always hurt.
You know, he just had an operation, with to put another screw in his foot. You had David Wilson. He got much better. He's younger. I mean, the Giants are definitely looking for longevity. I mean, you might expect to see Corey Webster cut. So, I mean, you have to look at the aspect and the business aspect of it, which the National Football League, the NBA, Major League Baseball, these are all businesses. And the team and the organization is going to do what's best for the longevity, especially with a general manager such as Reese,
whose
track record has shown what he can build.
Yeah, what I don't understand, C-Wings, and for everybody in the panel, is that you're talking on the business sense, the salary caps and all that nonsense. But I have a long memory. I have a Velcro mentality when Eli Manning, after the
Velcro.
First Super Bowl, and it was still a floundering, fledgling quarterback, was written into a $135 million contract. So where is the salary cap and where is the other ball players who made him, who helped them win that damn Super Bowl? I mean,
first Super Bowl, he was a GM. But see, the thing is,
he was GM.
You know, the thing is, though, and that's the thing they're talking about with Jerry Roma is if I'm correct now, so when they sign the guaranteed contract, that helps the cap situation. Am I correct?
It's depending on which way that the team is. I mean, you look at the Jets when they re-sign Mark Sanchez. I mean, yeah.
You
look at
a lot. Did you have to bring it up?
Move maybe a role.
I don't want to hear that name on the show.
I mean,
Jesus,
I mean,
Christ.
You look at that.
You hear
Ray Lucas, who's probably, you know, one of the biggest. You know, he's going to do his job as an analyst. One of the biggest people that make comments about Mark Sanchez. I mean, he was just on ESPN this week.
What'd he say?
He was talking about Mark Sanchez, how he's never seen any game like that Thanksgiving game, the butt game. He said he hadn't seen anything like that in his career. And I can't even remember a game like that.
Absolutely.
So he has definitely regressed. But on the other hand, he's shown that he can be a good quarterback when he has the right pieces around him. I mean, the Jets, they I don't know what they're going to be able to do to get under this projected 120 million point, I think it's 4 or 5, 121.5 million dollar salary cap for projected for the 2013 season. I mean, they have roughly 12 free agents this year. Dustin Keller, you have
with Revis now? Hey, let's forget that. What's, I mean, all of a sudden, Revis is on the block? What's the story with Devin?
They want to pay $16 million to a corner, Doc. That's what it comes down to. A corner coming off an injury at that. They want to pay
$16 million. I don't think you're going to see Revis traded. I mean, especially, you know, when you look at the contract situation, when he first signed the last contract, he had the advantage at that point. This time, you know, he's a little older. He has that injury. Of course, he's coming into this for any type of player. This is their most important contract, especially at their age. It's basically his final big contract where he wants to make the maximum salary. Obviously, it doesn't mean that you're going to get exactly what you asked for. I mean, you even look at Derek Jeter in his last contract that he signed with the Yankees. Yeah, of course, him and his agents, they're going to ask for, try to get as much money as they can because that's...
I don't think they're going to give him what he's looking for, at the corner.
Oh, no.
I don't think they're going to
give
this guy $12, $13, $14 million to play corner. I know when he's healthy, he's a game changer. And that whole side of the field is basically covered.
Rooney, on the real side,
is that
overplayed with Revis? Because they said, because the big thing they say with Revis, and of course, see when you jump in here too, they say, you know, he cuts off that whole side of the field. I mean, is he that good? Is Revis that good?
Doc, when the fact remains, they're not going to give a corner.
Quarterback
is getting $1 million.
He won't get that money. I mean, I think if he you look at players like Bart Scott when they renegotiate the contract.
Get him out of here.
He's gone.
He's gone already.
He's gone.
Yeah, they cut him. I mean, but he restructured his contract. I think you'll see Revis and the Jet organization coming to some agreement. I don't think they would want him to end up on a team like New England who's just waiting there. To pick them up, but I think they'll.
Oh, they look like Charles Woodson or Ed Reed right now.
well, now Woodson's gone. Now the rumor, as Timothy S. Smidley would say, is that New England is on the verge of being even better this year than last year. Now, what have they done, or is this just lies? What's happening with that, C-Wings?
I just think that. They look at I wouldn't even call it a dynasty. I think it's an organizational thing, the New England Patriots. Wow, they've been known to be geniuses. I mean, you look at this year, and I said it before, that they weren't going to West Welker it to the Super Bowl. They have a lot of holes to plug in. You see Wes Welker, he's getting older. He's coming up for a contract. You know, so I think it's just basically going off the name, New England Patriots.
The reputation.
It's a Spygate. They didn't win nothing. It's a Spygate. They didn't win anything.
I mean, they're getting older. I mean, Tom Brady's getting older. I don't think any, by far, any stretch of the imagination he's done or Belichick's done. But they're going to have to plug some holes in their defense.
Oh, yeah.
Their defensive line is pretty much, you know, intact. They'll have to plug in here and there. But the biggest part is on their defense, and that's what they're going to have to work on. I still think they'll be the threat over the division.
But are they the threat because the division is so bad? We're talking about Buffalo, who already reversed to losing, and we're talking about the Jets. So I mean, they're the bullies of a bad division, but are they really as good as their record perceives them to be?
I think that they earned it. They're a team not to to sleep on. They're still a vertical threat. Not the same threat they were when they had, obviously, Randy Moss. But, you know, when you look at it, the quick snap, two-step back, quick drop off from the from Tom Brady to Danny Woodhead. And, I mean, they're still a threat, yes. I don't know if they're that big Super Bowl threat because I don't even think they should have went to the Super Bowl the prior year. That should have been Baltimore again. That was just a bad call.
No, definitely. That was pitiful. That was. Hey, Seawins, okay. Your draft choice, y'all going to draft a quarterback or what with your ninth pick?
I think that they're going to have defense. They're going to have to go with some offensive line players. Yeah. I mean, you look at, you know, talking about quarterbacks, this year seem to not have those impact quarterbacks like you had in the past 2 years with Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, and obviously RG3, you're just not going to have that class of quarterbacks coming out. Not to say that there's not a Russell Wilson in there or maybe even a Cam Newton or RG3 or Andrew Luck in this draft class, but you just won't have the buzz this year that you did have with the quarterback options coming out of this
Let's go back and talk about the 49ers. Two things. Is Randy Moss is gone? He retired? Or we don't know yet?
He's
up in the air.
He's a free agent, Doc.
He hasn't announced anything. He may be back. I think he's looking to get that ring before he goes out, but he has a small window. You know, based on this team is definitely going to be a threat. They stay healthy.
But I'm looking at the 49ers. Is you know, this is the second shot. Last year they didn't get to the Super Bowl. This year they got to the Super Bowl. I mean, how good can they really be? I mean, they finally decided on a quarterback.
If they fire the coach, because they could have won the Super Bowl. that Harbaugh 49 is an idiot. Made wrong calls. And they should have won.
Yeah,
I think they did a tremendous job in coming back. I mean,
the fix was in, man.
Well, you know what?
People don't know what it takes to get to the Super Bowl, let alone
win.
Good point.
Stop right there. I remember talking to Larry Bird, and Larry said, who has the same birthday as Rooney, and Larry said that people, what you just said, don't understand what it takes just alone to get there. Forget about when. It's true, but what I'm saying is this is a team that, to me, they still don't have a quarterback. I mean, this kid didn't do it. But then again, Dusty's made a point that's so tremendous because in today's game, the offense is called by the coach. And you got to look at this coach who, and I said this, and now you had picked the Ravens to win, and I said that the Ravens, if they got up, they weren't going to lose their lead, and they didn't. And I'm thinking that the 49ers got more back in this football game because of the blackout than what they did. If there's no blackout, they would have got blacked out.
The fix was in, Doc, like I said.
I don't think so.
Everybody talked about it and joked about the blackout cooled the 49ers and gave
the Ravens.
The Ravens, and that blackout, supposedly they got a New Orleans Mardi Gras voodoo.
They paid their bill, probably. That's what happened.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is that they were going to win that soup. except the stupid calls of the 49er coach. I mean, this guy threw the game away. People blame the ball players, but you got to blame the decision-making.
Coaches don't win
games.
Managers and coaches do not win games. They lose them. And Dusty has come up with a tremendous point right here where this coach lost the football game.
We got many years ago. Let's go back to basketball for a second, if I may. The Knicks under Pat Riley. John Starks, remember this. Correct me, somebody. Please correct me. John Starks was a three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And they were this was either a playoff or a championship game.
Championship.
He kept John Starks on the
Knicks
line.
Go down to Houston, Dusty, three games or two with one game to win. But Dusty, I told you.
He kept John Starks on the three-point line. He didn't want John Starks to shoot a two. He wanted him to shoot a three, and that blew the game away.
Dusty, here's another point, Dusty. They got Rolando Blackman to come in and be a part of the offense and everything. And Dusty,
Damon play.
D Wings, Cisco, Melko Selhofer. They didn't even play him. You brought
they
a second car for the wife to drive to work, and she still took the bus. And then Riley, a half a decade later, apologizes?
Flies out to California, the bum.
The real deal with Pat Riley, you know, Riley didn't win anything when he didn't have Magic and Kareem and Worthy. He came in and jumped in, with the Miami move, you know. Gentlemen, let's take a quick break and come on back here. We've got a good half hour left. Doc Stanley, sports and death.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go.
Go ahead.
If I have to lay, please,
sing it, David. Go ahead.
I don't mind.
Why, David? Sing this song, my brother. Hey, what? One more time, baby. We're going to do it for you real quickly. Review the month. The second, we remember Arthur Ashe, who had a birthday, and was happy birthday to Audrey Chambliss, the wife of Chris Chambliss, the world champion batting coach who was fired by the Yankees when they won the World Series. That's kind of amazing. Bill Russell, on the 12th, had a birthday, along with Prince Nassim Ahmed, he had a birthday. Jim Brown, greatest running back football player ever, on the 15th today. Michael Jeffrey George celebrates number 50. Charles Wade Barkley hits the big 5-0 on the 20th. Eddie Murray! I heard you, Stevie. On the 24th. Now, Eddie Murray is one of only four men in the history of baseball and the all minorities to hit over 500 home runs, 500 doubles, and get 3,000 bases. Charles Barkley, every team he ever left wasn't the same, led the NBA in rebounding. Michael Jeffrey George. Do I need to say any more? I'm done right there. Jim Brown, the 15th. Ditto. Done right there. William Felton Russell. 11 championships in 13 years. First African-American coach in NBA. First African-American coach to win a NBA championship. Only him and Will Chamberlain average 20 rebounds a game. Arthur Ashe, first African-American male to win a Grand Slam tournament. And his great line. We have to be twice as good to get half a chance. Doc Stanley, fourth and step on Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, and we will come on back here. Now, Stanley Turrentine, my favorite saxophonist, had a chance to open up as a stand-up comic. Stanley Turrentine, it's Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. It's Sports and Step. The Cisco Kid is here. Dusty. H. Brad Brown, Lois Jr. is here. Mel Costa, Cliff Jr. Cincinnati Sea Wings is here. And the Hoopster with his report card. Hoopster spared nobody, baby. Baby, if you didn't come to class, if you slept in class, Hoopster failed you, baby. If you don't put the ball through the hoop, guess what? Go ahead down to the gym. You can't play on the Hoopster's team. Cincinnati Sea Wings, tell us more about football than J-E-T-S Jets. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. And we are going to come right back after Billy Paul sends a little bit for us. Chipitos, that's the spot right here on Block Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Radio Network. Number one in what the laser. You want calzones, you want hamburgers, you want a little late night snack, that's where you go. Numero uno, no somente in Fortaleza, but noodles. Brazil. Fox Stanley. More than that. Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. We've got a good 20 minutes left to go. We're back into the crew. We're talking everything. We're talking basketball, football, baseball. Derek Jeter is feeling a little
Doc,
better.
I think
Rangers.
I heard Cisco. Doc, I think I heard Cisco say something about a potential fight with Alvarez
hold
and
on,
Trout.
Hold on. Back up.
Yeah,
the Rangers, 3-2 winners tonight.
Yeah, actually, it's not
Capitals
potential.
Gang, tell that type of fight. Hold on. The Rangers win again 3-2 against the Washington Capitals. NBA All-Star game, Chris Paul, 20-something points, 15 rebounds. He's the MVP. And maybe
the first,
that's
the first
that
Clipper to win the MVP award in All-Star game.
Well, you know, Derek Jeter, African-American-wise, was the first African-American and the first Yankee to ever win MVP in the All-Star game. And he was the first African-American and first Yankee to ever get 3,000 bases. Elson Howard was also the first African-American to join the Yankees back in 1955. And in 1963, Elson Howard became the first African-American to win the MVP in the American League. That year was the year 32 that Sandy Koufax won number 32. Elson Howard was the MVP in the National League. And in the NFL, Jim Brown, won number 32, won the NFL MVP award. And with that, without further ado, with I think he's one of the great sponsors of our time. Check the comments back in. Get back into sports. We've got another good 20-something minutes left, so don't move. We've got things to say. There was some rumor. Dusty told you right here. That's why I'm so proud of this crew. Can't be my crew. Can't text my people. He told you. They were talking about Alvarez and Cotto. Now the rumor is it's Alvarez and Austin Trout. And with that, let's go. Rudy led us to the Cisco Kid. What's the story here now? Is it Alvarez and Trout? What's going on here, Cisco?
Alvarez has decided to take on Austin Trout. That's from what I see is solidified. I think that will be happening
May 4th,
right?
Yeah.
How much of this is because I mean I think Trout is a tougher fight than Cotto. How much of this is Bob Arum continuing to show his grudge against guys who used to fight for him?
Yeah, you know, I don't even know what to say about Bob Arum. And you have to say the problem is not just Bob Arum. It's Golden Boy, all these guys that decide not to do business with each other for whatever reason. It's killing the sport. I mean, right now we have, Brandon Rios and Mike Alvarado, too.
Yeah, again.
You understand?
Yeah,
it's like, wait a second. You know, this guy, Brandon, is a potential superstar. You know, he's a tough fighter. He comes at a fight. He's got a pretty good chin, and you're gonna go and put him in a fight where the last time around, you know, those are kind of the fight between them two. You know, were the kind of fights that could take something out of you. You know,
and you're gonna
go put these guys back in there again. You understand?
Yeah. Well, it's the physical, it's the popularity of the fight. The fact that they're both warriors, they're both that crowd pleasers, and this
it's
is what
true.
The,
it's true.
The,
but if
the
you
audience
got a potential
wants to see,
superstar,
the audience wants to see blood and guts spilled all over the place. As long as it's not
that
their
is,
blood. And
that
guts.
Is true. That is true. That is true. But you know what? He did. I watched the fight again. He did stop Alvarado. You understand?
Yeah, he stopped.
It was a bit premature, he was getting his head rocked. And Rios, for a guy who had just moved up in weight, had his first fight at 140 pounds. Hey,
yeah,
make the next fight for him. You got bigger fights for him out there than another Alvarado fight. I mean, really.
Rios got beat in the 140 pounds, and they gave it to him. Remember that fight?
Yeah, when he fought Abreu.
But the thing here too Gilberto Ortiz, Junior Gilberto Ortiz was saying about the Cotto. The Cotto basically should have never came to 154. Should stay at 147. And he's coming off two back.
No,
let's not beat
that
again.
Everybody listen now. This isn't part of the show. This is what Gilberto said. Gilberto
no, the
felt,
truth is he should never have went up to 54.
You got to care what he said because I'm saying what he said. Okay?
He felt that
Cotto never should have went to 154.
He felt Cotto never
was better at 147. There were fights for him at 147, and we have to look at you know, what might have happened had Yuri Foreman been able to continue that fight at Yankee Stadium. But, you know, his feeling was that Cotto should have stayed at 147. On the other hand, Cotto's coming off two back-to-back losses. I felt, without question, that more people, what you said here, when you mentioned it, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, that Cotto and Alvarez is a bigger bond burner than Alvarez and Trout. And I think Trout is definitely a fight that, even though you figure you're going to pick Alvarez to win the fight, but it's going to be a harder fight to win than a fight with Cotto. I mean, Cotto, to some consensus thinking, it's not. I wouldn't say shot, Dusty, but he's
yeah,
he's not the same.
He's not the same
right.
Cotto.
Yeah,
you know, pre Margarito, he's not even close to that.
Yeah.
The weight, fighting at 154 pounds, you could see that Cotto's slower. He's not hitting as hard. He's not hurting guys like he used to, you know. And really, the only reason why he went up to 154 was escaping Manny Pacquiao, he figured, you know, what a lot of guys do, you know, they lose a fight Shane Mosley. Shane Mosley lost to Vernon Forrest. What did he do? He moved up to 154 pounds to escape him.
Hold on. You know what, gentlemen? Can you believe? I got an email the other day from Swanson Communications. Do you know, gentlemen, that it's been 3 years now since Vernon Forrest passed away?
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought it was four, but
now it was in July, so it's three. It's almost four, but it's over
talking
three
about,
and a half years.
Let's finish analyzing the other stuff. We can't be jumping from subject to subject. Let's clean something up before we go move forward.
Well, there's nothing to clean up. We're done with Cotto.
How the heck is a man going to continue fighting when he's draining himself? He can't carry the weight. That's why he moved from 140 to 47. He was fighting drained. That's why even Paulie
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, Dusty.
Hold on. Both guys. Hold on. Doc's got the floor.
All right.
The problem with Cotto is Cotto has no discipline. He runs his own show. He hasn't been the same fighter. And a lot of the reason why Emmanuel Stewart left him because Cotto listens to nobody
right.
but Cotto.
Right.
In the conversation.
Right.
Cotto listens
and
to nobody
think about this,
but Cotto.
Think about this. He moved up to 47 because he couldn't make 140. There was no reason that he couldn't make 147.
You can't
the thing about Cotto
me,
is that Cotto puts on a lot of weight between fights, and when he's always coming down weight, even in this fight against Trout, they were talking about him having to move
rumor,
weight to
rumor
make 154.
That Cotto likes to party,
you know what I mean?
And hit the sauce. No, we're gonna
come
do it. We got a good. I know we're gonna do because so we can move into Mike on Lights Off, Rooney, because we got a good 15 that we continue the
argument. Look at Floyd Mayweather.
Okay, hold on. I need who's the one question here. Everybody's saying today, or yesterday, Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player that ever lived. I'm asking you, the hoopster, who's from Brownsville, where to fly, you said be.
I didn't say that.
I'm going to ask everybody. In your opinion, hoopster, is Michael Jordan the greatest basketball player that ever lived?
Ever lived? Or
yes.
to this era, or no?
He's the best. But is he the best ever, in your opinion?
He's the best, but not ever.
Who's the best ever?
One of the best.
Okay, so who you put in his class? Because they act like Michael Jordan only got to play basketball. Who do you put in Michael Jordan's class?
Oscar, yeah, Wilt, yeah, Bill, yeah, Magic Johnson, yeah, all of them, Isaiah. you had a choice.
Okay, muscles, Michael Jordan the greatest ever?
I don't know enough about basketball like you guys.
Okay, it's good enough. Good.
But I will, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, it's tough, you know, because you know how it is today. A lot of guys don't do their homework before they name somebody the greatest. So.
Okay, we'll get to Dusty. Okay, Mel Cassell Jr., Michael Jordan, best ever?
I don't do that best ever stuff, Doc, because the different eras
You know, there are guys like Jordan, guys like Oscar, you know, guys like, you know, guys would be great in any era.
Earl the Pearl.
So I don't do the best ever stuff.
Okay.
I will say that he was great in his era.
Okay. C-Wings, Michael Jordan, best ever.
I think he's a top five.
Okay.
Top
okay. So if he's a top five, give me the other four.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm.
I put him up there. Elgin Baylor.
Okay, great
Nate
names.
Archibald. Mm-hmm. Even Earl the Pearl is one of is
oh,
one
my
of my
guy. See, that's my guy.
Okay, we'll go to Dusty. He's the guy who saw Lou David play with the Christians against the Lions when they won their first championship. Dusty, Michael Jordan, greatest ever.
No, this greatest ever, I have an ulcer with that greatest ever. I keep telling you, man, you keep asking me that. Nobody was greater than the other. They were good at their time, plain and simple. Plain and simple. Muhammad Ali, the greatest? No, he's not the greatest. He was good at his time.
Mm-hmm.
Fighters are good
Muhammad,
at their time.
Muhammad Ali
basketball
is the greatest fighter
at their
time.
They accomplished greatness at their time. They're not the greatest ever. Nobody. No athlete is the greatest ever.
Well, I beg to differ. Willie Mays is the greatest baseball player ever. Okay. Muhammad Ali is the greatest heavyweight champion ever.
No, he's not.
I disagree on baseball. I said Jackie Robinson.
Okay. There's nobody, and I got everybody muted so you can be quiet. There's nobody who will ever play the game of baseball who will be remotely as great as Willie Howard Mays. None. Not Barry Lamar Bonds. You're not going to see anybody. Because the guys they're not as fundamentally sound, okay? Ali, who the hell is greater than Ali? I mean, if Ali had that kind of speed as a heavyweight, imagine him as a welterweight. Ali beat the best fighters of his time when he was past his prime. He fought three times with Joe. He fought Norton three times. He ran through Norton like a hot knife through butter had he fought him at his peak. He'd have beat Joe Frazier. He killed Joe Frazier the first. Joe Frazier went to the hospital the first time, almost died. The first time he fought the second Ali. There are some guys that are the greatest. And Muhammad Ali, unquestionably, is the greatest. Pelé is the greatest football player that ever played, if you want to say soccer. Jim Brown is the greatest running back. The guy's a fullback, leads the league in rushing 8 out of 9 years from a fullback slot. He's a Mack truck with the speed and mobility of a Porsche. There are some guys that are the greatest ever. You know, and I mean, you know, eras. I mean, it's a funny era. Everybody talks about how the guys are not as good, but they're bigger and stronger. But everybody, when you talk baseball, they say Babe Ruth's the best ever. But we can't say Willie Mays is the best ever. If Babe Ruth's the best ever, we can't say that Willie Mays is the best ever. And baseball doesn't start till 1947 when you have the integration of black players. And from 1949 to 1969, only four non-African Americans won the MVP. The first man to win the Cy Young on MVP is Don Newcomb. The first man to win the rookie year is Jackie Robinson. I mean, I think when you come to Ali, man, I mean, Ali, unquestionably, if you want to argue Sugar Ray Robinson, but, I mean, we've said on this show, as great as Walker Smith Jr. was, there were guys that just Sugar Ray Robinson wouldn't fight. Ali fought everybody. Man, bring me Godzilla. You said about Duran. Duran would have fought Godzilla. I think there's certain guys, Dusty, and I got everybody muted. I mean, this era stuff. I mean, it's a funny thing you talk about eras, but nobody talks about eras when you say a white guy's the best guy. Nobody talks about eras when they say Babe was the greatest player. Babe was the greatest player ever, you know, 714 home runs. He was a pitcher. Who's to say that Willie Mays couldn't have pitched? Who said Hank Aaron couldn't pitch? I think there's certain guys, my opinion, but I mean, when you get a heavyweight, I remember when Bob Foster got knocked out by Ali, he said he couldn't believe the hand speed of Ali, who then was the second Ali on the downhill side. I mean, I think there's some guys in the greatest. The thing about Pelé, they say Pelé was the best footballer in the era when the Brazilians were the very best. They had the best clubs. He was the best. I mean, you're going to tell me that Ronaldo is as good as Pelé? You're going to tell me the guy, I can't think of his name now, who keeps winning the world? Jordan, the thing with Jordan is people act like Jordan's the only basketball player that ever played. And I've said this before. Jordan ain't dunking four or five times a game over Wilt Chamberlain, over Jabbar, over Unsil, over Willis Reed, over Bill Russell, over Nate. He ain't ducking five or six times a game. And the kind of defense. I asked Walt Frazier, how would the Knicks handle Michael Jordan? We put Earl on him. I think when you talk about, you can't do eras. Everybody knows that today's players are not. What's his nonsense in the basketball? A point guard and a small forward. You're either a guard or a forward. What's a small forward? Power forward. I think unquestionably, Ali is the greatest fighter of our generation and of all time. And I think if Ali fought at welterweight, he could beat Ray Robinson's best defense was his offense. Willie Mays, the only home run hitter to ever lead the league in stolen bases. The only home run lead the league in stolen bases. Mays would have hit 800 home runs if he didn't go to the military and play in Candlestick Park. I beg to differ with you, my dear Dusty. There are certain players you can say. Is Gretzky not the greatest hockey player of all time? The records that he set as a scorer against an era when the guys were still at their very best? Ali, he beat Frazier. He's like Ray Leonard. Ali beat every great heavyweight of his era. When he was passing, he beat Knockdown Foreman. He beat Liston, okay? He beat Joe 2 out of 3 times. He also beat Kenny Norton, who shouldn't have been in the ring with him if he'd been at his prime. I think there's certain guys that are the greatest of all time. And I think if you look back and understand, you're saying what a lot of guys say is, how can you compare eras? You can compare them. If the guys are bigger and stronger and better, well, look at Joe Louis. What was Joe? Marciano. I think Marciano and Holyfield are two of the great examples of guys whose timing was perfect. Holyfield beat everybody past his prime. Everybody Holyfield fought was past his prime, like Marciano. Okay, you say Marciano undefeated. He beat an old Joe Louis. He beat an old Jersey Joe Walcott. Everybody he beat, Ezra Charles, was done and gone. But they gave him a hell of a fight. So I think Ali, greatest of all time. There'd never be anybody better than Willie Mays. When Willie Mays could hit, he could run, he could throw, he could feel. From all-around perspective, Oscar Robertson, here's a guy retired from basketball. He was the all-time scorer, number two, and he was number one in assists. I think you can say. The guys fighting today. Mayweather, like Mayweather, but, would Mayweather been a contender in the days of Tommy and Ray and Hearns and Hagler, Benitez, Harold Wesson? The guy might have been ranked number 5. I beg to differ with you on the Ali thing, though, Dusty. I think Ali was unquestionably the greatest. I think Jim Brown, Lawrence Taylor, will there ever be a greater linebacker than Lawrence Taylor? Ray Lewis is a great linebacker, but LT changed the course of the game. OJ Anderson said the first thing they talked about when they came to town, what are we going to do with LT? 10 straight years he made all pro. I think there's some guys, that you can say, or it's a good argument. It's not like, you're like out of the ballpark with it. It's at least, worth considering. Ali definitely get.
Hey, you also forgot, imagine if Ali never lost those 3 years.
The thing to talk about. If Ali goes through the 3.5 years, Joe Frazier would have been another guy who he just beat. Another contender. But real quickly, let's do Mike on Lights Off real quick. So, Rooney, close us out so we can argue some more live on the air. Go ahead, Rooney. Rooney? Did we lose Rooney?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's Larry close and we come on back and fight some more with this here. Larry Hardesty, you got something to say? Come on and say it.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.
Okay, we're back. Jesse, you talked about this rib thing, and I just want to know, do you really feel this is an advantage? And what's happening with this Shane Mosley and Paulie Malignaggi fight? I lost Dusty too?
Hey, Doc. No, I'm here, Doc. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what happened to you, Rooney?
First of all, I had to stop working for a sec. Listen, I was trying to make for the longest time a point about the great Muhammad Ali. The fact of the matter is that when he took that 3-year layoff.
He didn't took it. They took it from him.
They
right,
took it,
that 3-year layoff.
They took it from him.
Before he had that 3 years away, he could dance for 15 rounds, Doc.
Yeah.
He could dance. He didn't just have the hand speed and the smarts, okay? The guy could literally dance all 15 rounds.
Absolutely.
And when he came back, he still had the hand speed. He still had the ring generalship. But
he didn't
what
have the mobility.
Do,
he
but
didn't
what
have the
he
mobility.
Couldn't do
yeah.
is dance
yeah.
for the entire 15 rounds anymore.
Yeah. And against a guy like Joe Frazier, he had to. Rooney, close this out real quick and bring a mic on.
Dr. Sports In Depth Nation's been here. Our Sports In Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. Destroy That Stirs the Drink has been here. And that's been the Incomparable Doc Sanders.
And with that, I'll leave you with three quick thoughts as we get the mic on, lights off. The line of Larry Hardy, she likes. Number one, African-American sportscast history in New York City. Live your life today as if you had to stand before God tomorrow. Dr. King, life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Muhammad Ali, service to others is rent you pay for your room here on earth. And then there's that great line by Jack Roosevelt Robinson. A life is not important except for the impact it has on another life. We always hope we can impact you here with not only the updates inside of sports, but education, which Dusty, Cincinnati Sea Wings, Cisco, Melco Cell Smith Jr., the Hoopster, and Lady A. This is not just a sports show. It's an education. And when you leave Sports In Depth, not only do you know what happened in the world of sports, but you understand why, and we give some history. Black history, real quickly, the first man to win the MVP in Major League Baseball, Jack Roosevelt Robinson, National League, and the American League, Elston Howard. Jim Brown led the NFL in rushing 8 out of 9 years. The first African-American to win the Heisman Trophy, Ernie Davis. And the first African-American quarterback to win the Heisman Trophy was Charlie Ward. The first African-American hit 4 home runs in 1 game, Willie Howard Mays. And the first black coach in NBA history, Bill Russell, who was a player coach, and he coached the Celtics to their 11th NBA championship, which also was his last. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. Billy Paul is going to start us off, and the guys are going to do you mic on lights. In fact, Rooney, bring us into mic on lights off.
Well, Dr. Sports In Depth panel is here, and our Sports In Depth Nation is here. We want to welcome them to Sports In Depth Extra. Mic's on, lights off. And now, once again, the incomparable Doc Stanley.
Thanks for that intro. Okay, well, you know, when you get Cisco and Dusty here, you've got to talk a little boxing. So,
before you get to boxing, let me say this, Doc.
Yeah.
You know, you're way too modest. You are way too modest, okay? Because I remember once you, and I love to bring this up, even though you're married and so modest. I remember once you guys turning the entire FAN Sports Talk Network topsy-turvy and upside down when you guys had it to Mary to bring up the point that why is Charlie Ward, the Heisman Trophy winner, not drafted by anyone on no round? No round. Not drafted by anyone. Even an inconsequential draft, like towards the very end, fifth round.
Not even the last guy drafted on the last round. And we're talking about a guy who was the Heisman Trophy winner on the number one team in the nation, won the national championship, and he was the number one player in the country the last 2 years. It's in the words of Harold Wesson, sad and touching, and it shows as often as things change, they remain the same in America. And it's just, you know, thus you talked about Clemente. They're never going to be a great right fielder than Clemente. The fire department didn't want to give Clemente a hat. They wouldn't ask to give Clemente no money. They just recognize what this guy has done. And this is the thing about African Americans and Latins. When they do something, it's not just for their nationality. It's for the whole world. You know, it's not like I'm just doing it for the Dominicans. I'm just doing it for the Puerto Ricans. I'm just doing it for the Haitians. King, Abernathy, Height, Farmer, Murdoch, they did it for America.
Everybody.
You know what I mean? And the thing about it, you look at affirmative action. Affirmative action works for white females. It didn't work for African Americans. The one who benefited the most from affirmative action. And because why is the need for that? You need that because you keep telling us to wait 10 seconds and then start the race. You know, you look at the Buffalo Soldiers. You gave them inferior horses. You gave them inferior equipment. And you say, go out there and fight. And they did and proved out to be the best. Doc Stanley, Sports and Gift. Another good 10, 15 minutes here. Mic on, lights off. Rooney, you and real quickly before you and C-Wings go, what's the latest happening in the world of WWF? Or am I saying it wrong? Give it to us.
No, it's actually now WWE. They changed that logo a bunch of years ago. Because believe it or not, Doc, it is kind of a funny story. They were WWF. Originally, that entire federation was Vince's father, Vince McMahon Sr., was the WWF, the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. Then they decided to drop a W and make it WWF. Now, the fact is that they actually couldn't use that lettering, Doc, because at the time, the World Wildlife Federation, believe it or not, the World Wildlife Federation had it themselves and had the had the logo. They said WWF could use that if they didn't promote. Now get this, Doc. If remember this is a wrestling organization. If they didn't promote violence, so at the end of some of the pay per views, they started getting a lot of heat from World Wildlife saying, "Hey, our thing with you says that you know you guys can use."
Yeah, we lost Rooney. Cincinnati Sea Wings, are you still with us? We lost Cincinnati because he knows about that too. Okay, so we're going to do another few minutes. We lost Malcolm Smith Jr. Cisco, what Dusty was talking about, the cancellation of the Garcia Zab Judah fight because of the rib injury to Garcia. Now, Garcia, you know, is really not tough. Like, Dusty's feeling that maybe the healing process will not be sufficient and could, if I'm correct, Dusty, correct me now, could lead to an advantage for Zab, Dusty?
Yeah, I feel, like I told you my history, I had two fights canceled. One rib injury was worse than the other. And when the doctor found blood, it was a physical. What is that cartilage between ribs? I forgot my anatomy. There's like a cartilage that holds the ribs together. He found blood in between ribs. And I'm saying, oh, shit, I'm finished. But the fact of the matter is that I don't think 6 weeks is enough because you got to breathe. You can't hardly breathe. You can't hardly sneeze. You can't sleep on that side. If you sleep on the good side, you still feel the pressure on the bad side. You know, so, and then to get back into training, he has to start slowly, make sure he doesn't re-injure the rib because they are very vulnerable, and then go full tilt to be in condition. Now, Zab Judah is a pretty good body puncher, and I'm very sure he's going to be concentrating. I mean, how good Zab Judah is, I mean, will be that day, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that he has a weak target to work on, you know. But I feel very strongly that, man, I don't know if 3 weeks, I mean 6 weeks, is enough for the kid. Maybe because he's young, or maybe because now in training he'll wear a flak jacket. I mean, whomever. But still in all, the rib injuries is, to me, one of the bad injuries in the business. You know, so
yeah.
I don't know if...
I don't know if that's correct because, it's a little bit different than back in the days. I mean, it just depends on the severity of the injury. And
yeah,
I'm pretty sure the doctors are going to give him the precise weeks for him to heal.
Yeah,
but what we're saying, Cisco, is that maybe the camp maybe the camp may be saying later what the doctor says. No, we're looking at a payday. He's the meal ticket. They may.
Yeah, he's a million-dollar ball player now.
Yeah, you know, they may put. I mean, it's a thing we've all been saying here. You know, the people who are so-called.
I don't
called,
think it's a factor, though.
Huh?
I don't think it's a factor.
Okay. Good point.
I think
good
that,
point.
Honestly, Zab is probably in over his head against this kid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Zab doesn't do well with punchers. You've seen him, you know, run out of the ring against Lucas Matisse. You saw what happened when Claudio put pressure on him. He quit from a headbutt. You saw what happened when he fought Khan.
No,
he acted like he got hit low.
A technical draw.
You know?
I mean,
yeah,
it's
you know.
Technical.
And this kid, you know, he may not be the best, you know, the best thing since sliced bread, but he's definitely strong. He can punch. He's young. And he's going to put pressure on Zab. And,
yeah,
you know, Zab may have his
you,
moments
Frisco.
Early.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, but
yeah.
You know Zab. You know how Zab does. Look what happened when he fought Floyd. You know, he was getting beat up. And what he did, he punched
yeah.
Floyd in the balls. So,
yeah.
You know. So, you know,
but
I think
I don't disagree with you on the strength of this kid. Danny can hit from left field and knock you into right field. But what I'm saying is that a rib injury is an awesome vulnerable part of your body. You can go into a fight with a black eye or a sore, you know, a little
bruise
on your
and
eye.
And I think, too, Dusty, he may be underestimating Zab and say, you know what, I don't need to be at 100% to fight this guy.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. They know what they're coming up against. And
yeah.
And I also think that, you know, in order for them to make this, you know, because, come on, I mean, it got pushed from now to April 27th.
Yeah, yeah.
When this fight was supposed to happen, what, a week ago?
The February 9th, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, I think that it depends. Look, his girlfriend tweeted not too long ago, pissed off at him, that he was busy hanging out at a club. You know?
Who that's that?
Yeah, his girlfriend tweeted, and then she tried to delete it, and a lot of guys took pictures of it and posted it on the internet. So,
that,
you know.
Nothing like dedication, huh? Good
exactly, exactly. So his rib injury doesn't seem to be that serious.
Later for you, Dusty.
what I'm saying is that Zab has always been a player. You know that. He's always been a player.
Hey, Dusty, if we didn't, we know it now.
Yeah. Well, he's always been a player.
No, I'm
he's
not talking about Zab,
club.
Man. I'm not talking about Zab. We're talking about Garcia.
Really?
yeah, Garcia was out in a club, and
well,
his girlfriend
Dusty.
Said...
Hey, Dusty.
His girlfriend
it's,
said,
it's,
hey,
it's making
with,
look
with
good
this,
now.
With this, rib injury, but you can be out in a club. And I guess he's upset about
that's
it.
That's the reverse. I thought you said Zab, but if he's...
No,
he
not
said
Zab,
Danny
it was Garcia.
What Danny is doing is making a mistake. Because let me tell you something. I don't care if I'm going to fight...
I just said that. Underestimating
yeah.
Zab. Underestimating
right.
Zab.
I don't care if I'm fighting 20 paraplegics. I'm going to be in the gym. I'm going to stay out the clubs. I'm going to stay out of the boozing. I'm going to stay... Now, if he's gotten that big...
Well, I'm
going to
say something
in
Danny's defense. Mm-hmm. He just got a rib injury. He probably was told not to do anything anyway. You know, not to do anything physical because he just got injured. He had to
exactly.
take a little bit of time off.
Okay,
so I'm pretty
point,
sure,
point,
you know, what's
point.
Wrong going to a club? I mean, you know.
Yeah, well,
point,
I mean, if
he's not
yeah,
dancing,
well, you're right.
That's
if that's
he's
the
not
case,
dancing.
That's the case. They know the extent of the injury as opposed to the extent of Mayweather's injury, which turned out to be a phony because he wasn't ready to fight Marquez. Mm-hmm. But the fact, if this is a legitimate injury and he's out there partying, well, maybe the girl is angry because he went out with the boys and left the home. That's probably
what Dusty,
it was.
Dusty. Or maybe with a boy that was a girl. Did I say that?
Wow.
Tell him
riddles.
But the fact is that if he had an injury, you know, let me tell you something. You know, I just got to nail this thing here. Ribs are very delicate. You can't breathe. You can't. I said it. You can't sleep on that side. If he's out there dancing in side and merengue and all that nonsense, that's aggravating the damn ribs, man. This is what I'm See, as simple as it sounds.
Yeah, but you know what? His
yeah.
injury might not be as serious as you're stating it is. You know what I mean? His injury might not be that serious. That's why
right.
he was out there.
You're right. That's what it says.
He may be pulling a Mayweather, Dusty. He may be pulling a Mayweather.
Exactly.
He may be pulling
a
Mayweather
against Marquez.
Marquez,
he said he had a rib injury, you know,
yeah.
and he was back. You know, fight was pushed, you know, for another couple of weeks. So,
right. Exactly. This is what I'm saying. You know, maybe I'm going by what I went through, and I know what I went through. I thought my career was over, man, with blood on my
really?
Ribs. But the fact about it is that It could have been a slight injury. It could have been a precautionary move, because he said when he finished training, he felt a little twinge in his ribs. And then all of a sudden, he couldn't hardly breathe. And then the pain got worse. So they ran to the doctor. So when the doctor realized he had a brain injury, oh, God, forgive me, a rib injury, they canceled the fight. They said, look, you got to take time off before it gets worse. Probably it wasn't that much. You're right, Frisco. It could have been a superficial injury, but they leaned to precaution and they gave him a postponement, you know, until his rib came through. And it could have been nothing. Then you got to deal with the intangibles. It's probably his girlfriend was left at home and he was hanging out with the boys. I mean, so that's probably why she got pissed off.
But, hey, you out with that Dusty again? That's it. I'm tweeting.
But the fact of the matter is, and I think we're all right. To me, I looked at it as an advantage for Zan if he is indeed serious about beating him. You know, I looked at it as a possibility that he couldn't make the weight, because he did tell me personally, he says, I'm looking to go into 47 pretty soon. What does that mean? I don't know. Maybe he wasn't making the weight. So the thing is, I gave him 6 extra weeks to make the weight. Depends on who the Zab Judah shows up to fight that day. Maybe that's an advantage for Zab Judah. Now he's he got enough time to hang out and party and still got it.
Hey, Dusty. I hear what you're saying, but I don't think Zab wins this fight, hands down.
I didn't say he was going to win it. It depends on who. Now, I go by, Zab is a pretty hard puncher. He rocked Miguel Cotto. He cut him through and through. He may shoot his bolts the first 2 or 3 rounds and then go by Zab, because look, he quit on Amir Khan.
It's definitely a fight the first 4 or 5 rounds. And Danny,
Tell you something, too. When he fought, like I said, if you look at Zab since he went back down to 40, you know, guys seem to think that they could go up and down weight and they're going to carry their power. He was actually doing a bit better at 47 to me than he did it at 40. You understand? Because when he went back down to 40, you know, you saw what happened when he fought Lucas Matisse. He nearly ran out of the ring. He got dropped. He got dropped. And you know he lost that fight. You know?
Yeah.
Then you saw when he went against, when he was fighting Mabuza.
The African.
When he fought Mabuza, the African. He was getting his ass kicked. And
you know,
all
this
truth,
once again, is what we constantly say, that these people are being handled by people who don't have a clue. Guys, and you guys are experts, you know, you see things that is so obvious, but that's because of the keen, high intellect you have, and yet the people around them don't have a clue. You tell me here's a guy who was better at 147, they drop him down to 140. You know, it's what Harold, it's what Dusty, it's what you say for the longest time. You know, these guys have these guys' career and life in their hands, and they don't have a clue of what the hell they're doing in the sport
of
boxing.
And
that's the big reason why the sport is dying.
And think about this, if
Zab would have stayed at 47, he probably would have gotten Pacquiao. You never know.
Yeah, he probably would have fought Pacquiao. You're right.
You know,
you're absolutely right.
Since moving back down to 40, he hasn't been more successful than he was at 47. Because if you look at it, he hasn't beaten anybody at 40. You understand?
Exactly.
Wow, that's amazing. He
hit the Mabuza and stopped him. Mabuza,
that was it.
But
who the hell is Mabuza?
Right. Who is Mabuza? But he
you know
still
what I mean?
Hit him. He still hit him. He still hit him and stopped him and won a title. So now he's king of the mountain. But
that wasn't for long, because he got the American fight. What happened? He folded.
Right, but did you hear about there was supposed to be a Maninaji and Judah or Brooklyn and the Barclays? They didn't come through. Why? Because Paulie says, and he said in an interview, he said the money was not right. They try to chump change me, and I'm the champ at 47.
Paulie has a better chance to make more money fighting Mosley.
Yeah.
You know?
But there's no question that we all, I guess it's the first time in 5 millenniums that we all agree that Judah doesn't have a chance against Danny Garcia. But then I'm going to tell you, Fisco, I like Danny Garcia. I like his father. He's a son of a gun. But I'm not sold. I'm not sold on the kid either.
And Bernard Hopkins said the same thing, too. If you look at Garcia's resume, there's nothing impressive there. And there's nobody that he's beat really of merit.
Right.
No, his claim to fame was beating Khan. That's pretty much it.
I mean Khan.
Exactly. Yeah. Who does see screen and yell the next day how Khan basically, I mean, you might have thought after what Khan did, it might have been a fix. Khan had to fight one and goes out and does the exact thing he's not supposed to do and loses.
It wasn't a fix. Getting clocked like that wasn't a fix.
I'm just using the term. That's all.
I know. I understand.
The fact is that his claim to fame was beating Khan and then beating
Eric Morales
twice, who was at the slap end of his career. And to me, the surprise
Thank you for finally throwing the word slap. Now we can close. Dusty finally said slap. Good. We can say goodnight now. You finally used the word slap. Thank goodness, Dusty.
But you finally used the word, Dusty.
It took you almost 3 o'clock in the morning, but you finally used the word. Thank goodness. Thank you.
But the biggest surprise, shut up. But the surprise to me when I saw Danny Garcia for the first time, undefeated young kid, 20-0, with 11 knockouts, beating Kendall Holt. He almost knocked out Kendall Holt.
I said, where
does this kid come from? Philadelphia, by way of Puerto Rico.
Look at Kendall Holt. You know, when he fought Timothy Bradley. When he fought Timothy Bradley. Why did he lose against Timothy Bradley? Because Timothy Bradley took his heart. He dropped Timothy Bradley with a left hook that looked like he knocked off his head. He got right back up. And not only got back up, but got in his chest. He got back up and won the fight.
And I remember seeing that fight in the Zippy Bar in Fortaleza, Brazil. And Kendall Holt has never been the same since that fight.
He's a guy who's used to hitting a guy in the chin and the guy goes down. Hey, he did his job. When a guy gets up and puts pressure on that dude, he folds.
Loses.
He folds.
Yeah.
He's mentally weak.
As Marion Borkin would say, like a cheap card table. Marion B. Borkin, Black Bodacious, bringing a brother cheap card table or old cheap suit.
By the way, while we're on the subject, Bradley is finally coming out of hiding somewhere. He's fighting some Ukrainian.
He's fighting Ruslan Pronatovich.
Yeah, it's a hard name. Is it a Russian or Ukrainian? Yeah. So he's finally fighting this guy.
When and where?
Mid-April or May or March. I don't know. Sometime soon.
I can't remember the date.
He probably didn't even know the date himself. You know what I mean? Bounces out.
Block Talk
Radio Sports in Depth. You heard everything here. We've told you all. We want to let you know that we'll be back during the week for a little Black History Month continuation. A host of things happened. Michael Jordan's birthday, Jim Brown's pass, Bill Russell's pass, Charles Barkley's is coming, Eddie Murray's is coming, Danny Garcia, Zab Judah, some of the boxing talk that we had. We'll be back here. And it's Block Talk Radio.
Let me drop off this pill for you guys to mull on.
Go ahead.
I don't think that Alvarez would have taken Austin Trout if he didn't feel that he could beat him. Austin Trout will eat him alive and not spit out the pieces.
But I think the Alvarez
camp feels that they can beat him. That's why they took him out.
Dusty, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think he'll eat him alive, but, you know, it's going to be a tough fight for both guys.
Yeah.
But you know what's going to happen? I tell you what. It's a tough fight, and if it's a close fight, Alvarez will get it because of the name. Trout has to beat him worse than
decisively.
He beat Cotto.
Even worse than he beat Cotto. But the fact of the matter is that Cotto says, I'm going to continue fighting. I will fight somewhere in September and October. I have a date already. I'm fighting.
He's going to be fighting right there in your living room when you and Roscoe watching. Say goodnight, Dusty.
Yeah, you're going to fight Roscoe.
Roscoe's going to fight his ass.
Frisco,
Take
how
it.
You doing, man? I'm nice to see you again. I mean, here
yeah, ma'am.
Here you see you, man. Take care.
Yeah, ma'am.
Okay, man, we're finished belaboring the point, but God bless, and we'll get around. Well, one day we're going to get together again. You let me know, Doc. And
yeah,
we're
going to get together. We're going to be at your house watching that fight, you just talked about.
Oh, you mean Roscoe and Seabiscuit? Oh, okay.
Roscoe, no. Cotto against Roscoe.
Cotto against Roscoe.
Doc Stanley, Block Talk Radio on the Trust and God Radio Network at Sports In Depth, the Cisco Kid, Dusty, H-Raff, Brown, Loez, Mel, Cosell, Smith Jr., Cincinnati, Sea Wings, and the Hoopster. Leave you with three thoughts. Live your life today. As if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is to make you pay for your space on earth. I simply say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. And Marvin Gaye has this to say.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today,
children today,
really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live,
I've done and spent it all. It all seems the same.
crying over me. Cause this time, baby, I would leave. There is no place left for me to roam. I just had to know what there was to be. Now I know that was foolish to me. Cause when you've got someone who waits for you while you go home, you should try to hold on to that. You should try to hold on to that. You should try. You should try to hold on to that. You should try to hold on.